Hallelujah, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday service here on DoubleToasted.com. I am. Oh, wait a minute. I don't like that. Let me do that fade right there. I am Pastor Corey Coleman over here with Brother Negro Deacon Martin Thomas. How you doing, sir? I said, if I'm going to be the homo sorcerer, you're going to be Brother Negro. I'll take that name. Yeah, wear it with pride, man. And we have a good show for you today, a good sermon, if you will. Gonna be blending shows again, Martin. You know, it's been a very crowded week. We haven't gotten some screenings, so I didn't get to have a screening, so we're gonna have a review today. I'll tell you what that review is in a little while. We're gonna be talking about some news of the week that happened out there.
All right.
Talking about issues that people say you ain't gonna talk about that because you always defending your people. All right, we'll see about that. Oh, also, we're gonna discover how porn reveals the secrets, the dirty secrets of this country, Martin. Maybe even the world. And I want to go ahead and welcome in here in the world famous Double Toasted Church, the congregation. How y'all doing today? Yes, good to see y'all. God, why are you acting all proud back there? What's your name? Patrick. Oh, now you part of the crew. You can't like say hi and shit now. Okay. Just sitting back there just looking. Ain't even happy.
Come on, man. It's his day off.
Well, why is he here?
Didn't you ask him to be here?
No, I did not ask him to be here. Did I?
I thought you did.
Oh, did? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I did. Well, welcome, Patrick. How you doing?
That's why.
Good to have you here. Patrick, you know I love having you here. I got to fuck with you sometime. Oh, but a lot of stuff to do today. And before we get started in any of that, let me go ahead and welcome. I'm sorry. I knew I shouldn't have said anything because once I did it, I was going to open the floodgates, open the gates of Sinbad Hell
up in here.
People, please welcome fucking with our new guest in here. Of course, I'm talking about the backbone of this church, the Chattatatat. How you doing? Man, that is an uncharacteristic right there.
You going to walk in here with a mustache and red hair and not expect that?
I know. Yeah, man.
He's like, oh, just call me Detroit Red.
Yeah.
Sinbad will work.
Yeah, man, Detroit Red. No, my friend. It's even better in color. Look at that. Wow, brother. Oh, but good to see you, man. Good to see you. You know how we doing here. We only mock because we love, sir. You know we're going to holler at you in a little bit. Detroit Red, huh? Detroit Redbone. How you doing, man? Good to see you. You're a handsome dude, though. That's the only reason I mess with you, man. If you was ugly, I wouldn't say shit to you.
Yeah, you would.
I wouldn't. No. Yeah.
You wouldn't let it go. That'd be the whole show. We were going to do the top five, but
but I want to talk about that ugly motherfucker right there. Oh, let me see here. Oh, yeah, we also have the top five for you, two people. The box office, the top five box office. Oh, the more I look at this hue, right? I don't know. I was thinking about changing cameras, but the more I look at it, the more I like those rich reds right there. Let me see. It's going to come back in a little bit. I kind of like that. I like that rich color right there. So I got a better camera, so I guess that means that they up the color here. But I'm going to see how I feel about it once I see the show in post. But it's not about. It's not about the cameras. It's not about. It's not about the colors. It's not about you, Martin. It's not even about me.
What's it about,
though? Man, it is about the community that we have.
Yeah,
yeah, Martin. Wow. What about me, man? With your cool Mo D head. I love that, man. Right there. Leather. Bringing back that leather fedora right there. You going to do some freestyle for us later on the show? You should try to freestyle, man, sometime.
Should I?
You should. Yeah.
So I can rhyme, kids, don't be a fool, stay in school.
You can rhyme
about 10 times.
I bet you can rhyme a hat with something. Like the great Kirk, what is his name?
Rockmore.
Kurt Rockmore. Oh, let me see here, people. It's not about any of this. It's all about you, the community. And since this is an open door church, we welcome all spirits in here. I would like to welcome you today, make it very easy for you. You know what I tell y'all to do. Maybe you got a new iPhone 7 like I do, and you're loving it. Can't stay off that keyboard. So while you're on it right now, you might as well type in kcoolmans at gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz at gmail.com. You email us if you got questions, comments, compliments, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the church today, as I've been asking you, in that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, press in. Hallelujah, Martin. We are the only pastors coming up in your home bringing the Spirit to you, because we're the only pastors in the world that do the house calls. Oh, you can find me on Twitter occasionally at @KCoolMan. That's KCoolMan. You can find us on Facebook. Type in Double Toasted. Right there, I got Corey Coleman, because, you know, you might want some private prayer time with me. And just type in my name, and I will descend from the heavens and help you out. But, of course, if I'm busy, Brother Deacon can help you out. Martin.
I'm available at Martin_NoFro on Twitter and Instagram. Or look for me on Facebook.
And let's just say you happen to be in Austin. I don't know. You just hang in here. Let us know. Come to the world-famous Double Toasted Studio /church by emailing me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Visit in Austin. Go move here because you like it that much. Or you've been living here. That is the ultimate sin, you sneaky bastard. Come see a show and let us know you're in town. kcoolmans@gmail.com. You know how we do. Send me an email. I'll send you an email. We'll coordinate with each other. And that way I can accommodate you.
I'm going to go for too long.
Should have stopped while I was ahead.
I got to remember to grease that floor.
That's what we talk about. Just go through the roof. See my feet dangling. Ah, that's what you get for having aspirations. I keep telling y'all about that. Should have stopped while I was ahead. And one thing we're not going to stop doing is hanging out with you, because we have another play date coming up with the community out there. Love talking about this community, Martin. Love getting drunk with you. I even added a non-official event to things right here. I'll tell you what that is in a little bit. You don't have to be there. You are not involved. You are not. It is not you. You have nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. Ain't nobody got to do shit in here except the people that want to join me. I'll tell you what that is in a little while. But what I do expect all of you to do and join me in, including you, Martin, sir, and yes, you, especially if you live in Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas, good Lord, what's going on there? Well, we...
Oh, Lord.
All these events happening.
Get in the water.
Get in the fucking water. All the alcohol, because we're going to have a pub crawl on February 18th. Joining you all in Dallas. We're getting the stuff together. I'm going to be putting up stuff so we can take some donations for that. And if we get enough money, hell, we can buy y'all some drinks. And we're going to be there. Now, what happens with that is that I'm going to bring the equipment. We're going to do a show there on a Saturday. That is the 18th of February. And then we're going to hit three bars after that. That formula works so well for Houston, we're going to do it here. And mark your calendars again, February 18th. That's when we'll be there. More details coming soon. I am working on stuff. It looks like L.A. will slowly come together, man. Okay. Now, I can't guarantee that everybody's going to be there, but I do have something lined up, like a full event show, music, and our live show. And I think we have sponsors. Well, I know we have one, but we might have a couple others lined up. So looks like L.A. is coming together. That's April 22nd. So mark your calendar for that. We'll let you know more about that as the weeks come along. And, oh, what is this super secret fun event that you got going on, Corey, where don't nobody got to go? Well, I just got a call. It really is not a big deal. I don't even know if I should put it out there. But I'm having my tequila surplus party, man.
Are you serious?
Senor Coleman, yes.
Where are you doing this?
I don't know.
In Dallas?
No, here.
Oh, here?
Yeah, here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be in a couple of weeks. I had some people call me up. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I have a whole lot of tequila in my house. And would you know it, I just happened to just switch to whiskey one day. And I got all this tequila. I'm like, well, I got to make room for me whiskey, Martin. And so the whiskey. So to make that room, I have to share some of this tequila that I have with you. So I don't know we're going to have this. Probably my place. I don't think a lot of people are going to be there. And I don't want a lot of people there. But
I'll be there.
Will you? Okay. And I'm going to try to get somebody to come over and make margaritas. It's a very, very low-key type thing. Oh, what's that? That's what you got your hand up. What is it?
Oh, no, I was stretching.
Oh.
But you snapped your finger, too.
Yeah, no.
That, no, hell no. Don't even pull that kind of shit. Don't nobody stretch like this. Hey. Yeah. he just got busted just doing something. What it was, I don't know. But he's like, you stumbling to I was stretching. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck you did, Felix, but what is it? Can you make margaritas? Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, say it then. That's fine. You want to make margaritas then?
No.
I'll be your manservant.
Okay, which he has been. We'll put some white gloves on. On a thong. Felix walking around.
They just walking around. Oh boy. Senor Felix.
Let him lay down and we can eat tapas off his belly.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, man. But Felix, I got to leave Felix alone. So there you go, people. In 2 weeks, I'll give you the date. I don't know what 2 weeks from now is because I just decided this today. I had it in mind, but somebody called me up today and said, is this still happening? I'm like, yeah, yes, it is. We want to do this for a while.
You check with your boss?
She was the one that's saying when we're going to have it.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one that wants to do it. I check with her on everything. Y'all think I just be making decisions. I'm scared as fuck, man. I don't do shit without telling her. Today she came in, yelled at me, abused my ass. I apparently put my shoes somewhere where they didn't belong. It was dark, and I put my shoes in a closet and know her coat was in there. She came in and threw my shoes at me. Don't put your shoes on my coat. I'm sorry. I'm scared. I'm living in terror. I'm telling y'all.
That's what it is, man. You got to know.
I'm being trained. In fact, let me tell y'all something. It was, let me see if I can find this right here. It was, we were out this weekend, and let me see if I can. Oh, I can't show this picture. I got a picture. That's why I took it down. I have a picture of two girls that when we were over at, we were hanging out on Rainy Street last night. Mm-hmm. And Mia, you know, she wants to go down there because now we don't go drink as a couple. We do family outings now.
With your other couples?
The other couple was there, and now we got to bring the dogs. You know, everywhere we go, got to be dog friendly now. And I'm so happy that some of this shit is happening like it is. That new dog we got, Pixie about to get kicked out this motherfucking man. Because Pixie did way too cute. Yeah, I hate to say it, but cuter than Mojo ever was. Because she got them little wall eyes.
Sure.
You know, them eyes are looking two different directions. Looks like a cute little frog. Mm-hmm. And when we bring out, I've had so many girls come up to me and just look at the dog and say, she's so cute, I'm going to cry. And it was one girl from Australia last night. And she could not stay away. And she just kept, her friend kept pulling her away. And she kept coming back. And she's like, I just love this dog. And I knew, and I was scared. I was terrified that this is going to happen.
You play girl's sign like, get out of here.
Yeah, I was just playing along. Because she would.
I'm trying to save your life.
Yeah, I'm trying to save my life. Because she would come in, and she would keep sitting by me. And she would, like, sit so close that when she was talking to anybody that was across from me, anything, she was leaning on me and putting her hands on my leg.
So one hand is rubbing the dog. And other hands rubbing your thigh?
Yeah, yeah. She didn't even know. She's putting her hand on my thigh and everything. And it was all because of this dog. But it finally came out because she finally, and I knew it was going to happen. She's like, you could get so laid with this dog. You have a girlfriend? And Mia was like, oh. And I put out immediately, fiance. I'm saying,
and she's like, you don't feel that hot breath on the back of your neck right now?
I wasn't doing shit. I was saying, girl, please get out of here. Leave me alone.
For both our sakes.
Please just fucking leave. You know, because I knew what was happening. Because she was coming in and she was getting a little too close. I know the signs now. It was like, you know, you come for the dog, you leave for the dick. You know? Yeah, so she just flat out said, do you have a girlfriend? And I just felt me. It's like the alien, you know, you know, breathing. I was like Sigourney Weaver, just crying. Fiance. And me, I was so scared she was going to grab my ass and choke me, but she just said, why don't you get us some beers, baby? And I said, if she got the dog, I'll take care of the dog.
Oh, shit. That girl's never heard from again.
And I told her, I said, bitch, run! Give me the dog. Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah, man.
I'm already dead. Just save yourself.
Yeah. I didn't do shit. I ain't been as clean as I am today until that fucking dog came in my life. And I ain't done
you
shit.
You only had that dog back in the day.
Oh, that dog wouldn't have been alive at this point. That dog would have been dead. I would have been drunk, picked up some girl. That dog would have been at the bar still. So they would have found a skeleton under that table. Because she even said, because she had an idea like I did. She said, you should, in Australia, we can't take our dogs all places like this. She said, if you came to Australia and opened up a dog-friendly place, you would clean up in more ways than one, if you know what I mean. I was like, damn it. You know. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? They would feel like that's your relative because you Mexican. That dog is a Chihuahua. You know?
Is this your little brother?
But you see.
Hey, you know what? If you want to take that dog, I'll go with you because that dog is a hell of a wingman. That dog is about to die. You know, all of a sudden, she looked at that dog like that dog wasn't cute no more. Not as cute as she used to be. You know, that dog's about to, you know, that dog is infringing on her territory now. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, had that dog dressed up with a, she had dressed up like the Hamburglar last night. Because they had like a, I don't know what the fuck kind of outfit this was.
Old-style prison suit.
I don't know what the fuck this was. It was an old-style prison suit with them stripes. Uh-huh. And on the back, it was like bedazzled with the word princess on it. And I was like, I was like, and I really just said, I don't understand this outfit. But all right, it's fucking, it's a cross between a Jersey housewife and a fucking Hamburglar. I don't care.
Well, one of them did go to prison. But it sounds like one of those flea market things where they just mix two different genres.
Yeah, it was. It made no fucking sense. But nobody cared. Nobody cared, especially Miss Australia, man. Yeah, and it's before I leave on that subject, you know, because you don't want to do it, but you just got those, you got those habits from back in the day that start kicking in, where you want to, you know, where you want to keep macking and shit, but you know you can't, because you know you got it, you know, so, but you got to learn when to stop, but you can't, because I didn't say anything sexual or anything, but it was like, oh, so you like it here in America, you know what I mean, so you, even I said, so what, you living here, you got a boyfriend, I didn't mean that. Yeah, look,
you
I like
tell
to
him to buy one of these.
Yeah, I like to check. They're like, she about to go Super Saiyan on your ass. I ain't done shit. All right, I'm innocent.
Oh no,
Your Honor.
Oh, protesting a lot for somebody who's so damn innocent.
I am. Shit, even Mojo. When I take him out, because I was waiting on him to get there, because Mojo was with us. Even Mojo tries to look ugly and shit. So he's like, I don't want to help you out, man.
It's nice to hear y'all talk. You took Mojo with you, because I had this idea that now that Pixie's the new dog, Mojo's just at home sitting by the door.
No, I told you, Mojo and I, we have man time together. Because he comes up to me, he's like, this bitch won't leave me alone, man. He gets tired of it. So he's like, can we just sit down and talk for a moment, have some guy time? I don't know where that dog got a six-pack of beer from. But
he just wants to scratch his balls in private.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, also, I want to thank Felix, man, for helping me out. Felix is
Is a good Joe.
No, I've always thought Felix was a good guy. I've been helping Felix out with whatever he needs because I know that if I need something, Felix is one of those loyal, true blue, good-hearted guys that's going to help you out when you need it, man.
Absolutely.
And my battery went out yesterday to the point where the car wouldn't drive, so he drove me to get another battery, even changed the battery for me. And I gave him $20 to do that, and the whole time, he was just, you know, happy to do it, man. What else am I doing? I got a show, you know, later on the day, but that's it. Whatever you need. And I was like, damn, Felix, that's – got to stop talking shit about you, man. You know, he's that nice. But it's funny traveling with Felix because Felix just – you know, Felix is a good guy, but Felix just don't shut up. You know, I don't know a better way to put it. Felix just say whatever's at the top of his head, be showing you random videos on his phone. And you just
While he's driving
and shit, there was one he's so concentrated on talking to you, he almost drove off a fucking curb one night. I was telling him, Felix, that is not a driveway, that's a fucking curb. I know, man. Anyway, man, you seen this show? I'm like, Felix, not now, Felix. It is so funny because Felix is so good hearted and so good natured that, you know, when people he don't get some time when people just I'm making casual statements, not meaning to go on, because we were at the auto parts place, and the guy behind the counter, because Felix was like, hey, you guys have a good one. The guy was like, yeah, it's been a long time since I had one of those, but thank you. And then Felix was like, yeah, you know, I remember the time. And I was like, yeah, man, get the fuck out of here, man. This is not an invitation to a conversation. But you can't say shit because he's such a good guy, man. He's a really good guy. So I want to thank you, Felix, for doing that. And Felix, he'll be talking to you about songs and shit that don't – like, for some reason, he brought up Dave Matthews for no fucking reason.
Which nobody is talking about.
Which nobody's talking about. Felix is. Felix brought up Dave Matthews for no reason. And, you know, get to a point where you can only say so much to Felix where you just don't talk no more.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you know, Dave Matthews, good, man. I got nothing to say about fucking Dave Matthews. So you just tune out. And if you don't pay attention, he'll just start singing Dave Matthews songs, man.
Let her cry.
Oh, that's right. It was Hootie and the Blowfish because we because he made like a relation. He made a connection from the vocals of the '90s of. The vocals of the styling of the night. Like, yeah, I don't even know how that happened. We went from Dave Matthews to Hootie and the Blowfish.
I can see that. that whole kind of style. He's into something.
Yeah, but with Felix, it's random. He's like, yeah, man, you know Dave Matthews? Yeah. Hootie and Blowfish is great, right? And I was like, sure. And you just shut down on saying nothing. It's like, I got nothing, man. I got nothing else. I know how you feel. I'm like, man, I got nothing. And if you just quiet, I think quiet or silence makes him nervous. So I didn't say shit. He just started singing Hootie and the Blowfish.
Let her cry, let her tears fall down like rain, let her say...
I thought there was a child y'all ran over.
Yeah. Did you know that speed bump didn't phase his ass? That motherfucker didn't even slow down. Did you see that?
She's in his soul.
Like rain.
If that had been a person, he would have kept going.
Jeff Felix is
Felix cracked me fuck up with that. He didn't even try to slow down. I was even like speed bump, speed bump, speed bump, speed bump. Felix, stop! God damn it! Felix didn't give a fuck.
Let her say. Leaving all the pain, let her go.
I was just sitting up there. He didn't even notice. I just cut the camera on. I'm just like, this motherfucker's in his own world right now. I pray for anybody who gets in the middle of the street right now. They're going to get hit, but to the soundtrack of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Let her cry.
I can't hear that song anymore.
What I think about that poor... You ain't never felt sorry for a speed bump until you saw that shit. You see that shit?
The tears fall down like rain. Let her say.
Even that speed bump was like, no, no! Felix, though, it's good having some adventures with Felix. Felix. Felix and the Blowfish. Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. People say, Felix, you got your irritating moments, but you come through. They say Felix about to move in. Somebody said, I can't stop laughing every time they cut to Sinbad. That's what somebody said, man. Oh, good old Eric right there. Oh, man, people. Thank you, though. Thank you. We having a good time here today. Oh, let me see what we got here. What they say?
Let her cry.
Dean and Skull putting gifts, and they got one gif of a girl jumping out the car and running. Somebody just drove off a cliff. Oh, Felix the Great. Felix the Great, boy. Love it. You got it. Felix, you good with me, man. I don't care what anybody says, man. They say, you need to get Felix out of that studio. I like, never. I'll never will.
Please, you'll be ready to throw him out next week.
I will be, but I won't. Been ready to, every time he's been in here, been ready. Ready right now. But will I do it? Hell no. Motherfucker beat my ass to the Hootie and the Blowfish.
Let him cry. Only want to be with you.
I mean, man, before we move on, Martin told me the funniest story. Let me see here. Hootie and the Blowfish, man. Martin had me laughing back in the day when Hootie and the Blowfish.
Now on SportsCenter, union problems? No.
Fuck. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is a video. This is a video.
The Blowfish get downswing in the last few days.
Let me see. I forgot that this video was like this. God damn it. Come on. You two don't like Hootie, man. Oh, there it is.
You and me, we come from different worlds.
that's Darius Rucker. I remember Martin told me, Martin said when he first saw the video, he's like, man, that's wrong. What they got this black man lip syncing the Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah, I was completely shocked when somebody said, no, he's really singing that. I was like, what?
My old racist ass.
Yeah. He's the only black dude in the group.
black dudes can't sing fucking 90s rock.
That was a time in 90s rock where it was all about white guys trying to sound black.
It really was. So when they came out singing like that, yeah. The black Eddie Vedder.
Exactly.
You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls.
Damn. No wonder. Now, when I look at this, I'm like, nah, that can't be a black dude singing that, because this is the whitest fucking band I've ever seen.
Exactly.
Got that dude on drum just out there.
I'm the drummer.
Happy. I saw
the video. I was mad.
Mars, that's racism. It was so funny, because that dude right there. Mm-hmm. On the drum, I saw
is he Hootie?
Was there ever a real Hootie in the band?
Know.
I'm gonna say he's it. He looked like a Hootie.
Hootie
who? But I remember he was in an interview and he said, I'm looking at the drummer right now. He's got this goofy ass, my gums showing and shit. And he said, "This one of those retro shows where they're talking about the like bands that I hated the most for no reason."
Oh damn!
And he said that he was out somewhere and he saw a bumper sticker that just said, "I hate Hootie and the Blowfish." And he's like, "The fuck did I do to you, man?" I look at this video, I'm like, "That's why." Because your fucking smile, that's why. All right, everybody. Let's go ahead and get into, I told you, we got to catch up on some things. Let's bring in, before we do, let me get myself a board.
Oh, I thought you were going to put on that wig.
Yeah. You want to put this wig on? I want to be with you. And I'm the drummer. It was supposed to be a Trump wig, too.
Is that what it said on the box?
That's what it said on the box.
Yeah, man. Most of those commercial Halloween wigs you buy, they're awful.
They are awful. I mean, this is cool if you want to be like a 50s plus MILF or something, but you know, or Andy Warhol or some shit, but this is... Man, but this is not Trump.
Yeah, they had some surplus wigs and just sprayed some orange on them.
Yeah, exactly, man. This is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump ain't got near amount of hair I got on my head right now. God damn
it. But it's just as authentic.
Shit, look at this. I'll fuck me right now with this wig on. Let me go ahead.
I don't know how to respond to that.
You know what? Just don't put that wig on. You'll be all right. Let me see here. Put this over there. Put this right here.
What you
here.
Got to hide?
Everything, man. My soul. Nah, I don't want nobody cheating off my test. Because that means
we're about to take a test?
Yes, we are.
Oh, brother.
Yes, we are, Martin. It's called a review. We're doing silence, man. Because we didn't have a chance to do it last week, and I told you we'd do it today.
What's that got to do with a quiz?
Because I have my notes all right here, and I don't want Gertz cheating off of my, okay. My sheet right here. You know, he has a tendency to have them wondering eyes. Let's go ahead and bring them up, though. Gertz, come on, man.
B-Squad.
Yeah. Oh. Come on up. They are so gracious to come in on their day off.
Exactly.
The B-Boys. How you? Oh, let me pull the lens out a little bit so we can see these handsome gentlemen right here. Oh, and how you doing, Mr. Goodwin?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming in. And Gertz, let me give you a little room right now. Okay, Martin, that's good right there. That's good. Looking good, Gertz.
Thank you.
This new camera does wonders for you, man.
Thanks.
Actually, adds a little tan to you right there.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to be like us now.
You're like, nah.
Yeah, nah. Got too many perks with this shit right here. Go home, listen to my boot. I was going to say booty in the Blowfish Club.
sounds like a great spin-off group, though.
All right.
Introducing Booty in the Blowfish.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's hip and happening.
Yeah. Booty in the whole fish. Oh, but thank you guys for coming in on your day off. You didn't have to be here. It's a nice lazy Sunday, but you decided to be here. And that's commitment right there, Martin. I like that. And y'all would be you would be rewarded in heaven for this.
Threatened. Yeah, I was gonna say it's commitment when they volunteer.
Man. If you don't get your ass to this movie review.
Yeah.
But you went, didn't you? Looking at now, it looks how it's paying off for you right now. You're here with me on a Sunday. And how appropriate for you guys to be here on a Sunday, because we are talking about silence. Mm-hmm. And silence is the latest Martin Scorsese picture, man. The legendary Martin Scorsese. Everybody, everything Martin Scorsese does is a masterpiece. Put a turd on film one day. Masterpiece right there, Martin. And
I don't think you can say that about anybody.
You can, but see, that's the thing. Everybody feels obligated to say this about Martin Scorsese. And this is one that kind of just came under the radar. I mean, you know, the film people are talking about it, but, you know, what about everybody else? Not too much rumbling going on with that. And I don't know, maybe it has something to do with the subject matter. You know, when you get into religion and you start to question it, people kind of shy away a little bit from that. And the other thing, a lot of people just ain't buying this, really, because it's about two Jesuit priests. And those are played by Andrew Garfield and who?
Your boy, Adam Driver.
Adam
Kylo Ren.
Let me put up real quick.
Kylo Ren and Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. Let me put up this trailer. That's one thing I forgot to put up here is the trailer. Because I'm going to show you the trailer because we don't have a whole lot of clips for this. And let me see here. Oh, let me find it. There we go. Yeah, let me bring this up for y'all. And I'll tell you why people are not really buying this this movie right here. And the reason why is because, as we were saying, you know, we have Andrew Garfield and my boy Adam Driver, one of my favorite actors today. They are sent to go find another priest that had a heavy influence on their life, played by Liam Neeson. And people right there, they say, stop. What the fuck you talking about? Ain't nobody got to go get Liam Neeson. You know, Liam Neeson goes to get people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of people are like, I already don't buy this shit.
Well, eventually your luck has to run out.
Yeah.
I came to bring Christ to Japan. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, I'm not buying this, man. You don't go get Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson gets you. In fact, in this picture right here, Liam Neeson's standing on about 100 dead Japanese people. You know, I told you I got this shit. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson right now, he's praying for that dude behind him. Like, please, Lord, let this motherfucker creep up on me so I can beat his ass. You know, you don't get Liam Neeson. But the thing about it is, as Martin said, you know, every now and then your luck runs out. And you need a little help. So they're sending in these two guys who had such, whose lives were so impacted by this one priest played by Liam Neeson, that they feel like when they hear that he's gone to Japan and he actually gave up the faith, they're like, first of all, that's bullshit because he would never do that. And if that's what they're saying, that means he's in trouble. You know, it looks like a job for Spider-Man Kylo Ren to go in. And when they get there, they find themselves a little more over their heads than they thought that they would be, because they thought they were going to go in. And you know what?
People think the power of Christ is a real superpower.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do. Can't nobody touch us. The Lord will protect us. They said, first of all, we're going to go get our main priest, our main man. And, you know, as a bonus on the side, maybe we can just spread Christ a little bit more. Japan said, bullshit. Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for Silence, and we'll come back with the rest of our review.
Our Lord said to them, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature.
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
We'll be right back.
as for your glory is their suffering.
It's too dangerous.
We ask for this mission.
Now, to talk about this film effectively, at least for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but to talk about this film effectively, you have to talk about the technical parts before you talk about the story. And the reason why I say that is because that kind of has an impact on how I felt the story was delivered. And I will say something about the cinematography, first of all. I wish I had gotten the name of the cinematographer for this, but it's... When you look at it, if you think the subject matter is depressing, the film itself, the way it looks, is depressing. I really haven't felt this depressed since I've been to Seattle, man. Because this is
Jesus.
Seattle was beautiful.
It was
actually. It wasn't even cloudy.
Matter of fact, they kind of pump up that whole "it rains all the time" thing here. I think just to keep people from moving there, because it was nice when we were there.
I was too used to it being cold. Like the first time I went to Seattle, it was cold and raining the whole time. And that's just, you know, first impressions mean everything, man. So, you know, son was out like, fuck you. I don't see you, man. Where were you back then?
Gotta get a tan. Yeah.
Why did you forsake me a year ago? You know, I was looking at this and I was thinking, wow, you know, this is so, it is wet, cold, and muddy through this whole thing.
And smoky.
And and misty. Yeah, they had. They had
more human. Everybody's walking around in sandals and shorts. I think it was hot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? But the sun is hardly out. The skies are cold. These people are damp. Yeah, they're damping the whole time. You know, it's everybody's covered in dirt and shit and everything. They had to eat. And that's the effective thing about the film. I mean, even when it's like you say, it might be human and everything, but it comes across as a cold feeling film in both feeling and visuals. I mean, I had the heat cranked up where I was, and I was bundling up the whole time. Shit, you know, because it's so effective at what it does with the visuals in it. Now, as you know, I'm saying it's depressing, it's dirty, it's gray, but at the same time, you know, regardless of all the dreariness in the film, it's a gorgeous film, man.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing looking movie. This is Scorsese going back and shooting 35mm. I think the first film that he did that was a 3D movie was Hugo. The Wolf of Wall Street was the first 2D movie that he did in digital. And with this, he's going back to 35mm. Now, I'm not one of these film purists. I don't give a fuck if y'all shoot on digital or you shoot on film. It really don't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help but admit, if I can just be a film snob for just a tiny second here, that 35mm does add this haze to this movie, this dreamlike haze to this film that adds to the insanity, the surrealness that these characters are going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a movie where everything works together. You were looking at the trailer, and there are things right here where it's not just the cinematography, it's the composition of the shots. I mean, they take simple elements and work them to where they are very artistic compositions, very artistic shots. You know, it's just not a good looking movie. It's well thought out in its visuals too. I mean, I'm sure everybody agrees with that.
Yeah, there was one really good shot that really stood out to me, and that was when they were like the first 15 minutes where they were in a cave and they were just down in the lower corner and everything was dark, and then one of the Japanese people came up with a thing of fire and it just lit up the whole cave. You're like, wow, like he went for a really awesome shot.
Yeah,
it was great.
Well, it also does this thing that a lot of movies miss out on, is that I really felt the world they were in. I got a sense of the day to day of the people who were, you know, quote unquote, in the background when he was taken into what, you know, was the town. And everybody's, it's a marketplace where everybody's doing their thing and there's commerce going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a real good feel of that.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about this is that This is why I'm telling you that you got to talk about the technical aspects of this before you get into the story, because this movie was made for $46 million.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be made for actually twice that much. And then people talking about, you talking about Christianity in Japan. We giving you this much. We get, you know. Yeah.
Why did he spend years, if not like 12 years, trying to get this movie?
Yeah, he was trying to, before a couple of movies. But yeah, the people like, nah, you ain't getting $67 million unless Spider-Man pop up in this motherfucker somewhere, you know. You know, you work with $40 million, and that's great. I always like... When a lot of people get upset, man, that's Martin Scorsese. You should give him more money. He earned that. Nah, take that money away from him. Make his ass be creative. Because I feel like that should be for any director.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Take the money they give you and accept it as a challenge. Because 46, man, if you really, really look at this, they're working with very little. Yeah. I mean, they're out there in the grass and the weeds shooting. I mean, they're not mm-hmm. doing a whole lot of big spectacle. The buildings out there, these villages – like when you're thinking of Japan, you're thinking of like some, you're thinking of like Kung Fu Panda, some shit, you know.
Nope.
No, the villages here they're shacks.
Yeah.
They're dirt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's covered in mud.
They're made of straw and sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Little bamboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just a smidgen, a kiss of bamboo.
That's our budget.
Yeah, they made Scorsese build that shit himself.
That's why it's taking 12 years.
I've been building this whole year. But you know, it's with this, you know, you and the funny thing about it is that all this stuff is really bare bones when you look at it. It's all grass and huts and vegetation. Mm-hmm. And you think, man, well, they made Ancient Japan look really cool. If you turn the movie over, you see a tag on there that says "Made in Taiwan." This shit wasn't even shot in Japan. And I think that there's a lot that they've done here. The cinematographer has made this movie an awesome looking film by learning how to work with less and making it look like big spectacle. And I really appreciate that. And when I say that this movie is working with less, it's working, that includes with music.
Yeah.
When I say music, you can't even call what they have in there, because it barely has any music. What they do have in there, it ain't even music. They had a dude with a cello come in, put the music down, go like, and they said, "Thank you."
You need to sample that.
I spent weeks writing this, but that's your fucking fault. Thank you.
I had to catch three buses just to get over here.
Really, there's a
carrying a cello.
Yeah. They had a cello play one note and a mosquito coming. That's it. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. That's what you have here. That's about it. And you know, that's fine. But one of the things that, you know, one of the things about that when you're working with so much less, it almost works, for me, it works against the film sometimes, because the feeling they're trying to get, you get it, and I think that they just keep going.
Yeah, I felt like the first hour of this could have been shortened to 15 minutes and would have been to its benefit.
Yeah, man, that is...
Because at the point when it started to get really interesting to me, I checked my watch. And it had been on about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You and I agree exactly. I even put in my notes right here. Interesting. Hour and a half later. It's an hour and a half. The movie's 2 hours. Shit, almost
2 hours.
Like 2 hours and 41 minutes.
Right.
And there's a point in here.
That face.
Even he's like, God damn.
That long.
That's the face you'll make for the first hour and a half.
Even he's like, oh, Jesus, why'd you tell me that? Fuck. Oh, Lord, you testing my faith real hard right now. Well, look at that picture of Andrew Garfield. Looks fucked up on time right now. But yeah, man, it worked, because there's a part in the film where when they go to Japan, when you have Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver, when they go to Japan to find their head priest, they have to hide. He's nowhere mm-hmm. around, and because of the persecution that's going on in the villages, they say, "Hey, you know what? Stay your ass in here and come out when we tell you to," which is for days.
Right. But we love you. We want you here.
Yeah.
So don't go, but just hide.
Yeah, just hide. And they play hide and seek for weeks, and here's, and this is what I mean by it's working against the movie. When you're sitting in there, they have long shots of them in this shack. They have no music playing. it's only a matter of time before you feel like you're sitting up there with them. And it really, it gets to a point where you're saying, I need to get out of this motherfucker, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, crazy, yeah. You going stir crazy, man. Shit, I saw an episode of Law and Order where they put a dude in solitary confinement. Oh, yeah. And he didn't, and he wanted to go there because somebody said, man, I killed somebody because y'all drove me crazy, but put me in solitary. Like, put me in there. I won't go crazy. They put his ass in there, and they showed
20
him.
20 seconds later.
Yeah, it was like they opened the door, and they're like, you motherfucker, you said you keep playing like 3 days. He's like, man, it's been 3 hours. What are you talking about? And you feel like that. And effective up until a certain point.
One of us must go to Nagasaki and find him.
It's too dangerous.
For us, for the people who shelter us, we send Kichichiro. He brings back word we can act on.
Are you mad? Where is he?
Where's the Mario at?
Here. He's always drunk. He know he can't be trusted.
What do we do? We must do something to find Father Ferreira.
All right, we're fucking. God won't see us in here. It ain't nothing better to do. Now, the reason why that is effective to a certain point is because the movie wants you to feel what these characters are feeling. And like I said, sometimes it's to a fault. But when it's really effective, for example, when they leave that hut, and for those who are listening, it's a dark hut and there's no sunlight. But they finally adventure out. They sneak out, and you feel that sunlight coming down on you. You feel almost warmth. You feel the movie.
Oh, this is nice, right?
It was almost like, was it good for you?
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it's that bird from Assassin's Creed.
Hardest working bird in Hollywood.
I'm moving
up there. Scorsese loved the movie.
That bird ran at y'all out too. Yeah, there's a couple of people who see them out in the open, and this is how effective Scorsese is as a director. He does cinematic double take. That shit's meant for a comedy. When you go back, you come back, you almost see the water from a spit take coming out. You know? But he makes it dramatic. You know, he's at the top of his game here as far as directing. But as these guys are saying, man, it's this. We get the point. I really don't like one of my things that is that gets to me in movies. I'm not the biggest fan of long shots in films of nothing, and mainly made long because somebody's got some emotionless narration going on. I almost feel like a lot of these things that they are doing here, like I don't care about narration one way or the other. If it's effective, then that's great. But I do feel like Andrew Garfield is telling you a lot of things in this movie where they could just shorten this film a little bit and you could see some of these things happening. I don't know if everybody feels like that, though.
It's funny you were making fun of Adam Driver's accent, but I appreciate the fact that he read the script, that knew the characters were Portuguese,
mm-hmm.
and tried to do an accent, as opposed to Kieran Hines and Liam Neeson, who just went completely, I ain't doing it.
Well, I thought they might have been from another country. And that's why they didn't have an accent.
I think that was something that was weird about the movie too. Was I think Andrew Garfield and Liam Neeson were both from Portugal, but Adam Driver came out from Italy to go to that church or whatever, and then he went to go to Japan.
Because I noticed they didn't have an accent either. And
Andrew Garfield started with one because that scene you played, you can hear he has an accent. As the film goes on, that goes out the window.
Yeah,
it's like Japan beat it out of him.
He should have started doing a Japanese accent. Oh, what a father!
Frieza,
Son Goku.
What I liked about the film was, once it got to the middle. The debate between Buddhism and Catholicism, and really just the message it was trying to bring home to Andrew Garfield was just like, listen, this is our country. We didn't ask for you here. We kind of think it might be politically motivated, but just go home.
They told him over and over.
Yeah. This is not your place. And the way he was so like, yeah, but Christianity, that's the true religion. That's the one. It's like, you think yours is the one, we think ours is the one. Let's just call it quits.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
No. Mine is the one. Like, dude,
yeah.
These are the nicest practitioners of genocide I've ever seen in a movie.
They are. it takes movies where, man, I could not find an empathetic window, mm-hmm. because you know, Andrew Garfield is just like, yeah, you're wrong, but okay, philosophically they're right, but they're dicks, so it's hard to mm-hmm. you know, be on their side too.
Well, that's the cool thing about the movie.
I like that. I like that aspect of it. Yeah. And I like the Grand Inquisitor, who was the Japanese Christoph Waltz.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm gonna talk about him in a little bit, but you're right, man. It's you know, the movie, it for me, Martin is right. That's when it took off, because right at that hour and a half mark is when you start to bring up the complexities of what the movie's trying to say.
And that's when the sun actually comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
God. Yeah. The sun's like, oh, this is looking good. Yeah.
It's like God hated them being in Japan. They're like, I'm going to fuck with y'all. Yeah. Right. Until something happens and here's the sun.
I ain't tell you to go there. Yeah.
Like you said, you know, it's funny how much fun genocide is when the sun is out. You know, you know, a little sunshine makes everything okay. But that's when you get to the point where they're asking the complex questions about religion. Because it's, look, we're not saying that this is a movie where it's an anti-religious film. It's not a faith-based film. It's a movie that's just addressing a lot of things. Like, at what point is belief a good thing, and at what point does belief become fanaticism? At what point do you go from being a missionary to somebody who has a vanity Jesus complex?
Illusions
mm-hmm.
of grandeur.
Yeah. I mean, because I like when Liam Neeson even came in and he told Andrew.
Oh, I love that.
He told Andrew Garfield straight up. He's like, you think you Jesus. Bitch, you ain't even me. He's like, he said, look, get this through your head. All this shit that you came here with, you came for me, but you need to stop. Because this is a point where I'm telling you, I'm fine. You're doing this not for me, not for Jesus. This is shit that you're doing for yourself.
Pure vanity.
Pure vanity, and your vanity is getting people killed.
Ooh, wait a minute, hold on.
No, I do. Because you are just like me. You see Jesus in Gethsemane and believe your trial is the same as his. Those five in the pit are suffering too, just like Jesus. But they don't have your pride. They would never compare themselves to Jesus. Do you have the right to make them suffer? I heard the cries of suffering in this same cell, and I acted.
You excuse yourself! You excuse yourself! That is the spirit of darkness!
And what would you do for them? Pray? And get what in return? Only more suffering. A suffering only you can end. Well, not God!
Come away from me!
I pray too, Rodriguez. It doesn't help. Go on. Pray.
Get your ass in.
But pray with your eyes open.
Bitch. Yeah. So you can see this.
Like, you vain little bitch.
So you can see this ass when I'm about to get in.
I like how I was responsible to, like, the Christian black woman. It's like, that's the devil talking. Get out of my face. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, it's got an opinion. No, that's the devil.
That's the devil in you, boy. Shut up.
And at that point, his accent is gone.
I know, it is. He didn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm Liam Neeson. He said, I don't give a need to do this shit right. I like the way that Qui-Gon Jinn outfit came in handy.
I hate he's the suffering. I mean, no. Are we still talking about the Force? Yeah.
Talking about he was done with the prequels. No, you're not. I said you kept that outfit. Yeah. You know, and it's that's the thing about Liam Neeson in the movie is, and that's the part where in this second half we're getting some great acting. These people can't do accents for shit. I don't care if anybody, Adam Driver, anybody in this movie. These accents are all over the place. They don't give a fuck. But the emotion is what comes through. I mean, say what you will about Andrew Garfield, but you do feel the torment. I mean, like you say, I do feel for him. I mean, you say you don't have any apathy for him, but I do, because this is a guy who's been – this is what he believes. This is what he's been trained to believe by that guy right there. And what's up?
I'm laughing at Martin's face.
I'm laughing at Martin's face, too.
I mean, this is
you know what you're thinking. Yeah,
they're just like
Martin looked like Liam Neeson right now. You know this is wrong. But, you know, no, he's been taught by that guy. Mm-hmm. And he feels pain. I mean, he's at a crossroads. And, you know, he's a guy who's been, say what you will, it's a belief, it's brainwashing or whatever, but it's tormenting him. And the thing is, he feels invested. If he gives up on this right now, then he feels like the people who have died before, then they've died for nothing. It's almost like he has to commit to this.
Oh, I totally get that.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, who gives a fuck about these accents when the pain, the emotion, is coming through in this second part of the film? You know, and it's not just the Americans either that do a great job here. It's like you said, the Inquisitor man in this movie. I even took this guy's name down. Tata, this guy in the movie, what's that? Tadnobu Asano. Tadnobu Asano. Anyway, shit, Japanese dude.
just one of them.
Yeah, just one. No, he's the one that plays the leader here, the Grand Inquisitor. And at first, you're laughing because you're thinking like he's playing such a stereotype.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
The price for your glory is their suffering.
And he even plays it to the point where every time he talks, he finishes by putting his teeth out.
Yo.
Oh, saw the Grand Inquisitor. Oh, and it's like, Scorsese, you know this wrong. You don't do this shit. But the more he goes on, the more he is great in that role right
yeah.
there. And his interpreter, I don't know the guy's name, but his interpreter is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that dude
a lot.
I've
seen him in stuff before. I forgot what it was, though, but he's been in a bunch of American projects, too.
And
that guy's a troll.
He totally is.
Hey, see, this is happening, right?
Yeah.
You can stop it if you want. Yeah, I don't know. Jesus, dude.
And the thing is, they kill people, they do with such a smile on their face. Oh, you see this? This is because of you.
Yeah.
You can stop because they really are trying to do it with kindness. Like, if they kill you, that's their last resort. They're like, all you have to do is this one thing. Step on Jesus. It's good.
It means nothing.
Go home. Yeah. And that's another thing with the film. It's really about, you can say what you want to about how your personal beliefs affect you when watching this. But you look at it, no matter what your affiliation, you admire the belief of everyone, the belief that the Jesuit priests that go there, you admire the people that stick to their guns and are willing to die for it. I mean, it says a lot about religion. It says a lot about belief. It's a movie that is really not trying to make judgment about anything, and especially with Japan. Like we said, you know, they are guys that, in the movie, they're portrayed as bad guys. But the more it goes on, the more they say, look, this is not – let's cut the bullshit, okay? This is not y'all trying to spread Jesus. This is colonialism right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great to even see Andrew Garfield with the followers in the movie. They're kind of, because he said, what the fuck are y'all smiling about? And it's like, Padre, you know, when we die, we go to heaven. You taught us. Like,
we go to the paradise, right?
We go to the paradise. Like, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, we're about to die. We got to get the fuck out of here. Oh, Padre, just accept it. Fuck this.
Yeah, I didn't
laugh. Yeah, man.
And even here, like, I'm sorry. I had a moment. You know, but it's an awesome second half. I really don't. I just feel like, if they had tightened up that first half, you would have had a perfect film. But anyway, I digress.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the thing with this. And this movie kind of takes a bunch of different tones, especially in the first half. You have the mystery of, all right, is Liam Neeson here? Can we bring Jesus to these people without everybody being murdered? Are we going to get caught? And then once that the second half kicks in, there's a lot. There's something we haven't even touched on yet. Is that a lot of humor comes into this? Like the Grand Inquisitor is kind of funny. I forgot the guy's name, Kurokishi or whatever. The guy that kept running away.
The Japanese Gollum.
Yeah.
He looks like Gollum, and he screws over people throughout this entire movie.
And he keeps coming back.
And
it's like a test of faith for Andrew Garfield.
They keep doing shit. He comes back. I got to confess, Padre. It's like, man,
I
didn't fuck you.
And it's
so funny because every time that happens, it gets to a point Andrew Garfield's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He wasn't even looking at me. He's like, Father, Son, and really fuck out my face.
And there's so many scenes where, like, there was one of you that was willing to apostatize. Like, I know who it is. And every time it reveals, there he is. Japanese Gollum at it again.
There's the translator right there.
Just laughing.
Laughing at Andrew Garfield getting raped.
You up, right?
Yeah,
you
got that.
You mad, bro?
He's like, I got next. But how you feel about it, Patrick?
There's a lot to like here. You touched on it. It's beautifully shot. And all the actors, their accents are all over the place, but they are committed to these roles. I was expecting, and I'm a little disappointed, that emotionally it didn't really resonate with me as much as I would have liked it to, especially for a topic like this. You have people being tortured and put to death for what they believe. And I agree with you, Martin. I couldn't really empathize with too many people in here. I thought it was kind of funny that it felt like the Japanese people who were doing the torturing were given more dimension than the Jesuits were.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. there is that scene where he's like, look, cut the shit. This is why we're doing this. And it's a shitty thing to do, though their reasoning for doing it is a good one. Mm-hmm. It's like you're turning Japan as a whole into a pawn into your colonial game.
They just didn't have to be assholes about it. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're,
yeah.
The thing is, that, and you're right, it's so wild because you spend, like you said, the Japanese characters seem to be more fleshed out, and we spend the least amount of time with them.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. And Scorsese's always good at that, making deplorable people feel human.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he's – I think that's the part of the movie that hooked me the most, actually.
Yeah.
And I, in general, I thought the Japanese actors stole the show, too.
And you know something? Not to say anything bad against Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver. I mean, we already said they were good in the movie despite lack of having decent accents. But they gave up a lot for the film. Well, a lot of weight, at least. Mm-hmm. I know Adam Driver, he gave up like – shit, he gave up like about 41 pounds doing this. No, 51. Garfield lost 41. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things.
He's skinny already.
I know, man.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're not going to eat for a day.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing Liam Neeson, I didn't lose any weight. How are you guys doing?
He got fatter. Yeah.
I just wore a big robe.
I ate people doing this.
He ate their portion.
Yeah, yeah. You going to eat that? The fuck you are?
Want your cornbread?
But, Martin, what you do you want your cornbread? But what's up?
What's up?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I, you know, echoing everything everybody's been saying. Although I will say I wasn't all that crazy about how the movie finished either.
Oh, I wasn't either.
Yeah,
I
like it was so strong in the middle, you know, like weak in the beginning, so strong in the middle. And then there's a point where it could have stopped and it would have been like, wow, that's a, mm-hmm. that's perfect. Yeah. But it just kept going for so long after that. And I was like, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing you only do when it's based on a true story and real people. Yeah.
And they were done.
Yeah, they were done.
They were finished. And I was like, damn, we still here.
Like, wow. And you're kind of watering down everything that I like so much about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody need their ass beat for that that picture of Jesus they put over his face in the river.
Ooh.
That effect was so bad. Like, I'm like,
well,
hey,
they only had $46,000.
It looked like $46,000.
Yeah. When you look in the water, you see Adrian Brody looking back at you.
He's like, he looked, the pianist?
Yeah.
Like, no, this is Predators.
Yeah, that shit was moving, you know, like somebody was throwing that with a joystick or some shit.
Yeah,
man.
That was a rough thing, and especially with Martin Scorsese, like, we've seen him do movies and use like computer generated effects. You didn't even know they were there. And mm-hmm. then you see this, you're like, oh, that's awful.
Well, there were a couple of effects. It's a heavy handed movie before we wrap up. One is that they have a scene where Jesus literally talks to somebody a few times. And I'm thought, you didn't really need that in there. That's very, 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 very heavy handed. And I like how they did one thing in the movie. They say, okay, yeah, this is some heavy religious, philosophical shit, but hey, come on. We got samurai swords. Somebody going to use that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one scene where somebody got their head cut off.
No.
Like, oh, shit.
The thing is, you saw it coming on. Yeah. Oh, wow, they're letting him go. Thank you, Gina. No.
It's like, you really think they're letting him go?
Yeah.
Nah, man.
And when that shit came off, it was like a styrofoam mannequin head that somebody spray painted. It was like, man, that's a really bad effect.
That shit looked fake as hell.
I feel like Martin Scorsese could call in some, like, things. But, hey, man, I need a favor. Can you give me, like, a good head or a good CGI effect without this shit? And it turns into that.
It turns into that right there, man.
It's ridiculous.
I'm curious to know what y'all would give it, because I'm at a crossroads right now.
So am I. I was hoping you'd go first.
Shit, well, I asked you first. So, what would you say, man?
I don't know, man. I mean, we bring up so many technical things, and the things that are good about it are really good or even great. But it's a hard movie to sit and watch.
It's
a really hard movie to tell somebody, to recommend to somebody. Because I feel like they might even leave, you know, an hour into it and come back like, why don't you tell me to go see that bullshit? It does get better.
Some nasty-ass people walking around in the woods and shit.
Yeah, you know, nothing happening, some torture, but not even all that extreme. So, I don't know. It's probably a better movie if you're a big fan to watch at home. I give it a high rental.
High rental. Wow.
Just because it'd be better at home.
Yeah, good one.
I think we've all said it. That first hour and a half is a bitch to get through. But after that, once you get to the middle and before the last 20 minutes of the end, it's a really driving movie. One of the things is you end up spending all this time with Adam Driver and Andrew Garfield, so you think you're supposed to root for them. But I ended up rooting for the Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of this movie, I was like, I understand your argument. I understand what's going on.
I do too, man.
So it's like, I can't really, you know, they're not really an antagonist, so you have that moral quandary of like, all right, who should I be rooting for? And you know, the story for the most part is a good story. and technically it's a very beautiful movie, but the thing is, it just doesn't, for me, it didn't resonate as emotionally as it should. I'm not really feeling like I'm rooting for any character. I'm not really feeling like when somebody dies or there's a loss of life that I was like, oh no, this happened. I can't believe that happened. So just for the beautiful parts alone, and if you can get through that first hour and a half, it's a solid matinee. I recommend checking it out if you want to. Mm-hmm.
I was flip-flopping between matinee and full price for a long time with it because it is beautifully shot. It's well acted. There are some really well-written scenes. But it doesn't have that emotional connection I wanted it to. And even though I was never bored, you definitely feel the length. And that and the weak ending, which surprised me, honestly. I was kind of baffled at, because it contradicted everything they were doing up to that point.
It really did.
It was a very ambiguous movie, and then that ending's like, nah! This is what we're about! So for that, I give it a matinee.
Yeah, I've covered everything I have to say, except for the reasoning why I would give it a matinee is because I've used this excuse for so much, and I can't do it just because it's Scorsese. Because a lot of people, I think people feel obligated to give a movie more credit than it deserves when you have somebody like Scorsese directing it. But I would go in and talk about any other film and be like, well, you know, story-wise, that's why we're there. And technically, you can't let a movie slide because of that, just because it looks so beautiful. You're trying to tell a story and you fall on that, then that's what you have to judge it by. And that's the case here. I give it a very high matinee. But this movie could have been streamlined so much better. Mm-hmm. It could have been. You did not need to have an hour full of what they had at the beginning of this film. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, my review card at the end, I was like, y'all could have cut 40 minutes out of this easily. Mm-hmm. It would be much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Spend that hour developing the characters instead of just having them be in a hole.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of y'all talk, but this is Scorsese. You know, okay, it's whatever the fuck, you know. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I don't mean it like that, you know. Shit, they ready to cut my head off. What the fuck you say? Nothing. So, it's a good movie, but hey, it's got some problems. Hopefully, you know, Scorsese will direct a perfect film before he's out. He's 74.
Hey, you know what? I mean, he's one of those older guys who's still making great movies.
Exactly. You got to give him credit for this. I do recommend you see it. It's better than most of the movies that you will get out there. It is more sincere than most of the movies that you will see out there today. All right. Oh, you want to do finally getting around to it, Mr. Goodwin?
Yeah.
Want to do your worst of for 2016?
Yeah. Forgot about it, huh?
Yeah. Save the best for last, sir.
That's right, Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, I save the best for last. Yeah, it's your hairy ass. How you doing, man?
Now, here we go. Pretty good. Hairy as always.
Yes, a lot of people like it that way.
Yeah,
good. They like you furry, man.
Yeah.
Do you put product in your beard?
Sometimes, like, maybe every 3 days I put, like, speaking to Bateria, she got me like an oil, a beard thing. So
nice.
I use that.
Because you always have like a sheen going on your beard. Man, I like it. It is very simple. Just want to nuzzle up in that shit and go to sleep, man. Can I have your shaving clippings? When you build a coat out of this shit?
Corey built out another bit of hair. Tacky.
I have another Corey built with no beard. All right. Well, everybody. At last, we've hit the last person to do their worst of 2016. That is Corey Goodwin. And let me go ahead and pull up your number 10. And, you know something? I got to tell the people out there, spoiler alert on the first one, because it's not really spoiling a movie. It might be spoiling a review for when it comes up.
Oh.
Yeah. If you hate spoilers that much, you might not want to listen to this topic.
It's not the spoiler of the movie. It's the spoiler of the review.
The fact that it's on this list.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Mr. Goodwin. You tell me when you're ready, sir.
All right. So, everybody, my number 10 is The Space Between Us.
I want to go to Mars. I wrote those words when I was 12 years old. Mars is a planet ready for life. In 20 hours, 6 astronauts will travel to Mars, not to visit, but to live there.
Yeah, this is the one where it's, what's the boy's name?
Asa Butterfield.
Asa Butterfield on Mars. This is the one that's like the first baby born on Mars.
Yeah, he was, he's born on Mars, and basically turns into a Nicholas Sparks movie where he tries to travel back to Earth to hang out with this girl that he's been Skyping with this entire time. Just the science alone in this movie should be talked about. Outside of them having live Skype conversations when they're millions of miles apart in real time makes no sense. And they talk about this in the trailer, that he's slowly dying as he's on Earth because his body's not used to being on a different planet.
He's a reverse Superman.
Yeah, it's so weird.
That's a nice way of putting it, man.
But the thing is, when this movie starts off, and this is something I do with a lot of the movies, is that I don't watch, if we don't talk about it on the show that much, I don't watch any trailers or anything about it before going into it. So when this first started off, you're like, all right, this is... they're taking an interesting thing. They actually seem like they put money into it when they're going to Mars and when they're talking about launching. And the second they get to Mars, all those effects and money just seem to fly out the window. And then when they come back to Earth... We talked about what they do on Earth, which is a litany of crime.
Yeah.
And you just have to be like, oh, no, they're young and in love, so just let it happen. No, that's stupid. And there's an insane amount of product placement in this movie. So, yes, I hate this thing.
Oh, wow. He hates it.
Are we going to review this? When it's in?
Well, that's his opinion. Okay. I might love it, man.
Okay.
I know you loved it. I mean, you know, I talked about it when you came out. It was look for Martin's best of. I think it's number 5. All right, Mr. Goodwin, before you even say anything, I'm going to put it up here because your number 9 movie has something in common with Martin's list.
No. Ah, see? And you thought it wasn't that bad.
No, first of all, I didn't say it wasn't that bad. I didn't like that movie. I didn't say that. No, I thought that movie was bullshit, too. I just didn't have it make my worst of list.
Sizable, prone to fantasy, textbook case of female hysteria. We'll have her fixed in no time.
We're talking about Alice Through the Looking Glass. Why? We heard Martin's reason for not liking this, but what are yours?
They basically mirror a lot of what Martin said. This is one of the most unnecessary sequels I've ever seen in my life. They brought in Johnny Depp because they just needed somebody to sell tickets with, and he comes in here and he's only here for maybe 10 minutes, and he's just playing a sick Mad Hatter who just up in the bed all pale and fucked up, and it doesn't make any sense. And there were moments in this because this has a lot to do with time travel because of Sacha Baron Cohen's character, and they seem before I get to that, Sacha Baron Cohen, and I think even the Mad Hatter, tell, listen, you could do all this stuff, just don't do this, and we'll be good, everything will go fine. But of course, her being a very curious white woman goes and does it. and it makes no sense. They break every single rule they set up.
Yep.
They break every single rule they set up. Even the rules they do set up that you think are just impossible not to break, they somehow find a way to do that.
That's true.
And the effects in this, Disney should be ashamed of themselves for putting their name on here. Like, we just saw Doctor Strange, and it was just a beautiful effects everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But with this, it looked like it was rendered for, like, the Disney Channel, not a Disney theater movie. So, yes, okay. Alice Through the Looking Glass, number 9.
Number 9, you had almost identical reasons for hating this to Martin. So, looks like
I don't know why you liked it.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it, man. Loved it.
Better than Blair Witch.
Yeah, wait, yeah. And I didn't think it'd get any better. I've had an epiphany about that movie. Martin was right. In the bizarro fucking world. All right, let's go. And I think you and I share maybe the same spot for the number 8 worst movie.
Is this the real life?
Unfortunately.
Fantasy, caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
That was Corey watching the movie.
That's everybody watching this movie.
Oh, what's up, man?
The one thing about this movie is this legit had a chance to do something different. It was a cast of people that you're familiar with, but they really don't have a set lore. So you can do whatever the hell you want to with it. And they decided to make this piece of shit. The editing in this is probably the worst editing I've ever seen in a movie. I actually went back and watched this again. I was like, maybe there's something, like, especially in the extended cut, that maybe makes it a little bit better.
No.
Oh my God, it's so much worse. It is awful. And the thing about this movie is you have again, just Oscar-nominated people in here. You have Will Smith and Viola Davis in here, and you've had Margot Robbie in here. You're like, oh, they could do a great job. But no, it's just Will Smith playing his role again. Viola Davis, I guess her name. She's just in here being the sassy, mean black woman. And as Amanda Waller, I think she did a decent job, but her character was just nowhere to be found. And let's not forget the first 30 minutes is just introductions to everybody and you hearing, I think, maybe 12 songs.
12 songs,
it,
yeah.
It's a music video and it was edited like a goddamn trailer. And so, like, it's not a movie. That's the thing that pisses me off about it is I think that is the main... Oh, and God, let me not forget the Joker. I don't know if there's any more that could be said about how god-awful Jared Leto portrayed the Joker. But yeah, he was the worst. Even the main villain was just stupid.
And I wouldn't even blame Jared Leto. A lot of the things that happened with the movie happened to him. A lot of people. I mean, it was a movie that was so put together at the last minute that they didn't even know what to do with that character.
Nah, really? Because they advertised it for a whole year before it came out.
They were still doing cuts, and they had that whole thing of where people were starting to complain about the movies being dark, so they came in and tried to add some levity to the film.
No, man, there's a part in this movie where he pushes this chick out of a helicopter and she is falling backwards, but somehow it manages to roll forward.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're like, how does, like, is this things in this movie that baffle the mind? And I will not give Jared Leto a pass because he was the main one out there saying, there's so much more I did. It would have made the movie so much better. And then when the director's cut comes out, it's that much worse. So, no, Jared Leto has no pass. Nobody
Well,
in the
when you're in front
pass.
Of the camera, you don't know. It's
no,
joke,
fuck him for that shit. Man, no.
Did Jared Leto donate a kidney to you?
No, you know, because I think a lot of times actors, they get a bad rap for being involved in a film where they don't know what's happening.
Right,
and Jared Leto even said, I went in with one thing. And it end up being another. Sometimes it's just they're just casualties of what happened.
You know what? You want no beef? No beef? Huh?
Yeah,
you're right about that.
Yeah.
But I do laugh when I think about how you guys are like, hey man, this might be the movie that turns you around on Jai Courtney.
Well, we were fucked up on that, weren't we?
Must have fucked up when you said that.
All right, let's go to your number 7 movie, and your number 7 movie is one that was tied with a few of my movies right here. Mm-hmm. Independence Day Resurgence. the movie that no one fucking asked for.
I'm going crazy up here. I can't take it anymore.
You know how much I miss you.
Yeah, shut the fuck. Hey, what you think,
Gertz is right. That was everybody in the theater watching this. I can't take this anymore. This is one of those things, one of those movies where I think Martin and Corey always say this best. This came, 12, 15 years, way too late, or 20 years for this.
Yeah.
You only got, you're missing your main star in this, which is Will Smith, because he was busy making Suicide Squad, dumbass. But this movie was a blatant cash grab and out there to be a nostalgia flick. And it's such a bland movie. I wish I could say more about it. Like, oh wow, there was actually a cool moment where they're destroying this, or you know, they're harking back to the old one, and trying to play on your nostalgia. But the thing is, this movie is just boring. It's bland. It's poorly acted by damn near everybody that's in it. And I don't know if there was a script to this, because I feel like they just walked in front of the camera and started saying shit, and then they said go with it. It's like a walking Mad Lib.
Well, we summed it up when we were both saying, you know, a lot of movies today that they were groundbreaking films when they first came out. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a Star Wars at the time. This was people's Star Wars. You had Bad Santa, which was a movie that was vulgar to the point of the shock value of it was something that was kind of new to people. Mm-hmm. Even something like Sin City was something that was groundbreaking until they had a bunch of movies that kind of mimicked that style.
Yeah.
And you have movies that come out later and they're not special anymore. And Will Smith, I would say, again, hate to side with people that I know you think did bad, but would it have been any better had Will Smith been making this?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been better. And matter of fact, Suicide Squad, as much as we hate it, it made plenty of money. So
yeah,
he at least has that going.
And he got praised for it. Yeah. And he dodged a bullet and got, got grazed by another one. But
He dodged a bullet to get hit with a shovel.
Yeah, he Suicide Squad and Collateral Beauty. He dodged so many bullets this last year.
Sometimes they just have your name on them.
Yeah, that's just fate.
I feel like somebody was holding Jaden and Willow hostage. You're like, you want to make these shitty movies.
Let's see here. Let's go to number 6. And your number 6 movie is another one that made my list.
We're home, Max.
Fresh start.
Fresh start number 9.
No more moving around.
I promise.
And we have a new student, Mr. McGrath. Max McGrath.
Sure, he's not a teacher?
I cannot get over how old this dude is. I just can't.
I know. Yeah.
I fucking can't.
I actually went back and to be fair to all these movies, I've watched all of them outside of Alice in the Looking Glass twice. And with Max Steel,
God damn.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair to all these movies, I'm like, I can't put them on there without being like, all right, you know, I'll give him a fair chance. This one I gave more than a fair chance. I watched this again last night, actually. Mm-hmm. And this movie, it makes you question reality. You can tell it's, again, it's another blatant cash grab. It's Mattel trying to come out with the dude Barbie, the extreme Barbie. The special effects in here are hilariously bad. The one thing, he has some power that comes out of his hand, but it looks like semen. So it looks like he's just throwing jizz at people in the whole movie. About the power of jizz.
No, we threw jizz at people. Tell me it wouldn't work.
No, we talked about this.
It would run.
If somebody would slap you and if I had a handful of Jesus slap you, you'd be like, wow, I don't know how to
run. I think you can stop a bank with that shit.
What the fuck is this?
Oh,
start slinging it. Fill the bag with money.
Yeah. Drop the money. I'll throw this fucking jizz on your ass.
But yeah, and the funny thing is, when I watched this movie again last night, there are more, again, they have that DC syndrome where there are more scenes that were edited out of the theatrical version. So there are parts in it. I was like, I don't remember seeing this. They basically, at the very end, is basically ripping off the fight between Iron Man and the Iron Monger at the end of Iron Man 1. And there are characters that just come in here, and especially main villains that just come in here. They fight them once in the middle of the movie, then you never hear from them again. And then there are plot twists where, like, Maria Bello is like, thinks she's trying to kill her son because she sends a hit squad after him. But then at the end of the movie, she's like, "Ooh, that other guy tried to kill you. That would have been crazy." And we were like, "Wait a second, weren't you trying to kill him?"
Yeah.
So yeah, this movie is a mess, people. I recommend just checking it out because how goofy it is.
Yeah, you make it sound fun.
Yeah, some things you just got to see to believe. Blowing through these. Oh, I thought this would have been higher on your list. Assassin's Creed.
The history of the world is the history of violence.
Eagle, yes!
Mankind seems intent on destroying itself.
Oh, Corey Goodwin.
I've seen this,
Theo. Yeah. This will be the downfall of man. This is something that y'all all saw me lose my shit when the first trailer came out. That, again, Assassin's Creed is a property that I won't say I'm super close to, but I am a fan of it. I know the lore of it. And they, to give them credit, they were able to actually get a lot of the lore in here. Too bad it was a muddled fucking mess when they did that. Yeah. You have, and this is another thing I said earlier about another movie, you have high caliber actors. So you're thinking, wow, this could be one of those movies where they spend all this money and go out and get that cast. And you're like, all right, maybe this will be what brings it, you know, what brings video game movies to the forefront. No, this is worse than Angry Birds and the Warcraft movie that came out last year. The plot is muddled. Characters just seem to have no drive to do anything. You don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And then my favorite part of all this movie is the enemas, as Martin likes to call them. Because this movie is unintentionally funny. And that's something, I think that's probably why I didn't go any higher on my list, was because I got a lot of laughs out of this flick.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move to number 4. And, oh, there's another one I thought might have been higher on your list.
He was once the world's most famous male model. Even his looks were household names. La Tigre, Magnum, and of course, Blue Steel. But that was a long, long, long time ago.
Oh, good one.
Again,
why?
Another sequel that came out, 15 years too late?
Yeah.
This was another cash grab and trying to be nostalgic, have a nostalgic air to it. The first Zoolander is not a great movie at all. I don't understand why people love it. I literally think it's because 9/11 happened that week, so they need something to laugh at. But yeah,
compared to 9/11,
it's not that bad. But Zoolander 2, there was maybe only one funny moment we had in here, and I think we all agree on that, is when Benedict Cumberbatch came in as the all, whatever you call him. But they, you know, throw their celebrity cameos in here, like Justin Bieber, Neil deGrasse Tyson shows up, which just killed me. And, it wasn't funny at all. And this just seemed Ben Stiller he took the Adam Sandler route and was like, hey, I'm going to take a vacation out to Milan and bring all my friends with me.
Yeah, yeah, call your friends. Hey, Zoolander was a hit, why not? All right, let's go ahead and...
This movie needed another national tragedy, so it could have been good.
Oh, damn. This is one that you got mad at me over, but I actually enjoyed this film. It was a bullshit film, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, boy.
See, look, even the computer don't like it.
No.
Ages have passed since the gods walked among us. Before the fury swept over our land. Before the war.
Special effects of that.
Before we had good computers.
Yeah, it looks like God of War 2 that was on the PS2.
Yeah.
It baffles me how this did not make your list. It's crazy because one of the main things about this is it's, again, another Egypt movie with nothing but white people. There's one black guy.
But, you know,
shows
it's a fictional
here.
Egypt movie. Like, man, this might as well be in space or something.
No.
You know?
it shows, again, I watched this last night as well. There are parts where gods are hanging out on spaceships above the earth to fight space worms.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Rush is a god in a spaceship.
Yeah. This is why I like this movie, man. This movie went batshit, and I enjoyed it. Like, some shit just go, they got the balls to just go nuts, and they did. And I was sitting up there with a smile the whole time on my face, man. I gave it some bullshit, but sometimes it's like, wow, you know, if you're going to do it, commit to it and just lose your fucking mind.
They lost their fucking mind. Like a son of a bitch in this. As you can see, the graphics in here are god awful. And this movie had a $150 million budget. So I don't know where the money went.
Like, somebody ran off with that
somebody's
shit.
Somebody's going to jail for embezzling. And the other thing is, like, you know, what's the movie? Exodus. With that, all right, everyone's kind of speaking in the same accent. Like, they're speaking in that, you know, that British accent.
British, yeah.
And here, you've got people speaking in Danish accents, British accents. What's the name of speaking Scottish?
Gerard Butler.
Yes, man. I am set god of the desert. Like, wait, what?
Welcome to Egypt.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like. He says that, welcome to Egypt. You're like, oh my god, what's happening here? And the plot of the movie, it's a mess. And there's something about this. There are moments in here you're like, wow, if you actually would have put more money into your CG effects and actually cared about your story, this could have been a good movie. But this basically just turned into what you see in the trailer, a whole bunch of weird computer shit flying at the screen.
And you know something? You asked me, like, you try to do the race thing. At least they, as bad as the movie might be, they gave a brother a role. I mean, they made him dignified. They gave him a British accent.
And he was the only guy to die.
Yeah. Was he?
Yep.
Spoilers,
and then he shows up at the end of the movie.
Yeah, see? He lived. Yeah. So he's all right.
There's nothing to bring up about this movie because I just watched it again last night. The main drive behind Set is he is a god, but these gods get old and die. So he's saying, his main thing is, I want to live forever. Make me immortal. He's a fucking god. How are you not immortal? And he kills other gods, so they're not immortal either.
I had a fun time.
Yeah. She's a fucking mess.
I'm having a fun time now.
Martin, you need to see this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They kill a god, and then later he just says, yo, wake up. And the god comes back to life.
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
He's just floating in space water. Gold space water.
Hey, you know what? Here's one that we can agree on, brother.
To see Mr. Black? It's for the paper. To what do you owe your success?
I have a natural instinct for what makes a person tick. Hannah?
Christian?
Ow! Ooh. That hurts! Oh, please, God! Ah!
White girls, get that elevator fixed.
Oh, Corey Goodwin.
This movie temporarily made me a Trump voter. I hated black people coming out of this shit. I was like, how dare you make something this bad? You take something, which, again, it could be just satire alone. You could just film it that way, which is 50 Shades of Grey, and turn it into some goofy-ass slapstick shit with Marlon Wayans cooning it up throughout this entire film. There he is stealing cars as a billionaire, which makes no sense at all. I maybe laughed, and I don't even know if this really counts, half a time, because I was like, wait a second, that's funny. again, this is something that I'm glad you did when you made that, change.org petition and have him stop making this shit. And again,
you understand now, right?
Yeah, I understand fully. I'm very happy you did it. But this movie, it was completely unnecessary. It was what we've hated from Marlon Wayans for years, times a million. And it was just something that, yeah, I see you're getting all these stars from other movies. And I'll give him a shout out for that. He gave people a chance that are, you know, doing other things. Like a lot of people that are in Black Jesus are in this as well. But then you have a whole bunch of people coming in from Vine and YouTube, and they're not good actors.
Oh, no.
That alone just brings the movie down, but having Marlon Wayans doing all this stupid niggerish shit just makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
God, this movie is bad.
There you go. Yeah, we actually had to go to niggerish on this one, man.
Well, it sounds appropriate.
That's when you know it's bad. 50 Shades of Niggerish. Let's go ahead and get
anything
into
anything less would have been inaccurate.
Uncivilized. All right. Let's see here. Let's go to I like the way Sam is on the couch. Niggerish? What is that?
Hey, look it up.
Is that like licorice? I don't understand. It's a flavor, yeah. You never had the niggerish jelly bean before?
It's blacker than black.
Yeah.
It's black on the inside, too.
All right. Oh, I knew that we would be in agreement on this one right here.
This should be no surprise.
This should be no surprise at all. It was on your number two list, Martin. Mm. I almost made him mad right there that it didn't make number one. But Corey Goodwin and I, we agree. Kevin Smith, you really fucked up with this one.
I'm talking about your entire generation.
First line of dialogue.
You live on your phones. You have no idea how to function like normal people in the real world.
Miss Wickland, this isn't the real world.
This is Canada.
Oh, Canadian jokes can't get enough of them, Corey.
This is basically Kevin Smith jerking off to himself in the mirror. He made basically Clerks again with his daughter and the friend. His daughter. I'm sorry, his friend's daughter, Lily Depp Rose, whatever her name is. And then they went ahead and cast themselves as Kevin Smith as the Bratzy, which is a bratwurst Nazi
that crawls up your ass to kill people.
Crawls up your ass to kill people, and then when they're murdered, they're sauerkraut on the inside. And then Johnny Depp reprises his role from Tusk as some weird French Canadian detective, something weird from that. And this movie is it's the definition of nepotism. He casts his daughters in here, he puts his friends in here, and the movie is a mess. He's trying to like throw in elements from Clerks, he throws in things from Mallrats and all that fun jazz, but this movie is a mess. It's not lit great. I know when we first reviewed this, I said it's lit well for Kevin Smith, but not for a good movie at all. And the other thing is it just goes off the rails. And I didn't know it could do that when it already wasn't on the rails in the first place. So, yeah, this movie baffles me. I don't know how this got made or put in the theaters at all. And if you paid to see this and legit liked it, you should hurt yourself. I'm not going to say kill yourself. I want you to come back just to watch this shit again so you know how dumb it is. So, yes, number one, Yoga Hosers.
Number one is Yoga Hosers, and there is your worst movies of 2016.
Put my blood pressure on. Jesus Christ.
I know, man. You get worked up over this. Getting worked up.
Didn't have Rogue One on there, huh?
Okay. No, that's Will Valley. Will. Yeah. Wait till Will Valley's list comes out.
By the way, honorable mentions to Legend of Tarzan, London Has Fallen, Mr. Church, Knight of Cups, and Pop Star Never Stop Stopping. Because I hated that shit. And,
really?
Yeah, Mr. Church is because that's a personal thing. Because I feel like I'm Gertz's Mr. Church. I don't want. I don't want you to become too successful. Yeah. I might disappear.
Yeah. If we watch that movie together, he will just vanish.
Gertz's like, yeah, man, I got a promotion at work. No.
Does Goodman follow you around and just cook for you and give you good advice?
I guess he does, man. Let's turn around. There's some nice food there. I'm like, oh shit.
No. Sit up there making waffles. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Just for you. Sit up there making waffles. Has a good day, Mr. McGowan. Oh, no, you do that to him.
Yeah,
man,
it's
first. Oh, let's see here. Well, that is it for your list, man. And
got through it.
Got through it very well. Now, before you go, I'm not going to even name these people out here who did this, but in news of the week, y'all heard about the Chicago Four. Those motherfuckers, man. You know, here's the
beyond disgusting.
Yeah, the you heard about, and I got their names here. I'll say it in a little bit, but there's two of them right there.
Jesus!
Wow, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
I'm sorry.
Nah, I got their pictures right here. These are the four people who in Chicago they took a person with disabilities, held him hostage for 2 days, and threatened him at knife point, even at one point cutting him. And what's significant about this is that what happened here. Let me go ahead and pull up the article because it made the news. And they said, and they finally got charged, which didn't take long. I'm looking at this on Reuters, and they said, four charged with hate crimes over Chicago beating that these assholes live streamed. Go show you how stupid they are. Live streamed the whole time on Facebook. And the four people that we have here, Jordan Hill, Tess Faye Cooper, and then you have the sisters, Brittany and Tanisha Covington.
Wait, Tess Faye is a boy's name?
I guess so. Shit. Right. Hey, man, yes, you know, come on, man. If them names, I tell you, they were black. One of them named Costco. Hey, here's the thing.
Welcome home, Costco Jenkins.
Yeah. You could almost say, come on, y'all gonna get mad at me, but the more ignorant a fucking black name is, the more prone they're gonna do some crime. Sure. They did these crimes because of the names they were given. You know, this all could have been avoided if you named them something like Ted or John. Like yeah, yeah. But one of the girls is 24. I'm looking at the article. The oldest girl is 24, and the two guys were 18 years old.
That's an adult.
Yeah, that is an adult, and they were charged with a hate crime because the thing that is really making this make headlines in the news is that I'm not showing the video. I even watched the video. Don't want to watch it. Ooh. That's how disgusted I am from it. And I don't ever want to see it.
No, I'll
be honest with you. I don't. There's some things I just don't want to see, and that's one of them. Because it's sad on so many levels.
Yeah.
You know, these guys right here, what they did was atrocious. And a lot of people, if you were sane, you were truly repulsed by what they did, which is why I get a little irritated. I'm not going to even call these people out. I'm not going to say your names, but a couple of people. You know, anytime these things happen, a couple of people, they always come out and they're like, well, are you going to talk about that? In the meaning that, well, it was black people who finally did something to white people, so I bet you won't mention that. And it's like, what?
Say their name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I dare you. You know, I bet you won't talk. And it's like, why would I not talk about, almost like I'm, like we mm-hmm. are going to defend these people for what they did.
Yeah, and these people don't represent black people.
That's what I'm always trying to get through. Whenever you have, this is the crime of four black people.
Four
stupid ass black people, four stupid people, period. And all of a sudden, a burden of that crime is being cast on the black community.
Right. Like, we did it.
like they were our ambassadors, and all of a sudden, because every time somebody does a crime like this, somebody's already they're ready to turn around and say, see? You know, you do it too. And it's like, yeah, we're human beings. Everybody does dumb shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody commits a crime. You know,
but that's just evil.
And I don't
throw that word around lightly.
Yeah, and you always have to have, you know, on Facebook, we always have to get on Facebook and we always have to tell people, like, yes, this is disgusting. Oh, this was atrocious. I hated this. Not only because we really think that, but because we got to let white people know, no, we are not with them.
We don't know them. That doesn't represent us.
Yeah, you're still getting, Corey's right. You assume that we know these people.
Yeah.
You know Tayshawn or whatever the fuck his name is. Why don't you tell that boy something? It's like, I don't know these people. And y'all and the celebrities have to come out, and we got ups. And these celebrities come out because they know, they don't say it, but they're coming out and saying, you know me. For some reason, I am the Lorax of black people. I speak for us all. You already got a few of them out there saying this. Montel Williams is coming out, and he's letting you know. Montel Williams.
Just to remind people he's still alive.
Yeah.
Everybody, the ambassador of black folk, Montel Williams.
Montel Williams. There he is.
Who was like, what does Montel have to say about this?
It's like Groundhog Day for black people when he comes out.
He saw a shadow.
Yeah, he saw a shadow. And he wants to speak on this. Montel, hey, look, at this point, we'll take him. You know, because he came out and spoke so harshly against this that even Fox responded to him in a bad way. You know, he came out and he says, you know, I think these guys deserve life in prison, no parole. That could be debatable, but he's going through and he's saying life in prison, no parole. I'm not interested in whether these kids had a tough life, whether their parents love them enough. I don't care. Whether this is a hate crime is a distraction and irrelevant. This is the cold-blooded torture of an innocent human being. That's bigger than a hate crime. It's bigger than racism. Saying fuck white people is racist by definition. And that's what made the headlines right there, because they said fuck white people and fuck Trump. So those two words were a trigger for your usual suspects to come out and jump on this. Mm-hmm. And again, you have this big hypocrisy going on where these kids do what they did, and all of a sudden, you know, well, why ain't black people talking about that more? You know why black people aren't talking about it? Because this shit will get taken care of quickly. Justice will happen. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that. Shit, let a Negro commit a crime. That's going to go down swiftly. You know, especially the way they look, they can just look at these kids and say guilty. I'm not saying that, but that's the way a justice system will look at them. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but I'm saying in this case, let's admit it. What these guys did, these women and these two men here, what they did, nobody's trying to defend them at all. But a lot of people, they did go back and look and say, guilty.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't say because of the way they look, like if these pictures would have been taken and they actually had smiles on their faces, obviously it would be a different story. But these, like those mugshots they have right there, they show no remorse. Like when somebody gets caught for a lot of stuff, they'll at least be crying and be sad about something. Buddy on the right, like he posing for a mixtape cover.
Yeah, he's like, now do it again. You know,
gritting the teeth, got the lips stuck out.
I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to stab that motherfucker. You know, the reason why I say that, because I'm already going through and like, yeah, just look at these thugs. I already know, like, whenever black people take mugshots, they're the only ones that look shitty or evil or bad or whatever you want to put on there. If you're taking a mugshot, chances are you're not the most glamorous person in the world. So I've seen people take mugshots who are stars who end up looking like shit after they did it. And if you...
Although Mel Gibson took a really nice mugshot, it looked like a headshot for his next movie.
Yeah, it was.
He looked crazy.
Oh, he looked crazy, but it was nice. He had a big smile on his face.
Yeah. Anybody, whether you white, black, anything in between, I just pulled out some random mugshots online. I don't nobody look. You know, like I say, look. If you some low-class, crime-committing motherfucker, then you're going to look like it.
See, that's the thing. Like, Buddy on the right is crying. He's like, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this.
Or he's on meth. You know, I mean.
That's true.
That's reason to cry.
I wish I had some more. You know, but who knows? Who knows? I'm not here to judge people by their looks. I'm not here to judge them by their mugshots. I'm here to sit up here and judge them by the crime and also to tell people, like, stop asking me why I'm not talking about this, because it's going to get taken care of. And to point out the hypocrisy of this further, you know, you have to look at this and say, yeah, see, when this happens and you get the usual people who come out and talk about it, you don't get the same treatment when people of color do this kind of thing that certain news outlets will do to people who are white or people they deem to be one of theirs. Fox News was ready to jump on this. And then everybody had this headline. White people, fuck white people, fuck Donald Trump, man tied up, tortured on Facebook Live. While this was a headline for a lot of people, we know good and well why Fox put this shit up there.
Oh, yeah.
So they could scare their viewers, their readers, you know, these 60-plus-year-old white people who are already scared of black people.
Right.
To prove a point. But did you notice in the past, a lot, you know, with the way these cases are handled a lot, first of all, nobody went in and tried to say, well, let's look into the background of the victim a little bit more.
Right.
You know, that wasn't done. Nobody pulled a Trayvon on this guy. Now, granted, the guys did with disabilities. I'm not even trying to say that would even make sense. But I've seen it done before. But the biggest thing is that, you know, they're going to go in there and they're going to make this headline. And when they said it was a hate crime, people, nobody even questioned that. That shit happened. It probably happened less than a week that they were charged with that. Mm-hmm. And nobody said anything. Including black people, like, oh yeah, they say fuck white people. We know we're not gonna change people's mind anyway. So yeah, fuck them. Let them.
Well, how is that not a hate crime? Once you say that.
Well, some people are saying that they went in there and they were saying remarks, but they didn't do this because the person was white. It wasn't that they targeted this person because they were white. They targeted this person because they were an easy victim or they wanted to get something from them. Now, again, I'm not here debating that with anybody. Don't jump on me. I'm just telling you what people are saying.
But yeah, they hit him with the swiftness with that hate crime, because they even took, I forgot what buddy's name was, to shout out that church.
Dylan Roof.
Yeah, but it took them like a month to be like, yeah, it's a hate crime.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, his trial, it's a really hot button issue right now. Mm-hmm. It's being talked about because they're in a penalty phase and all the victims, the survivors of the victims are all testifying. He's defending himself and saying a bunch of crazy shit. So hate crime is already in the forefront of everybody's
mind. But here's the deal. this is the crazy world that we live in. He said, I went in there for the intention of killing black people.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, over at Fox News, is it a hate crime? I don't know.
It was released earlier, and extraordinarily, they called it a hate crime. And some look at it as, well, it's because it was a white guy, apparently, and a black church. But you made a great point just a moment ago about the hostility toward Christians. So, and it was a church.
Fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, see, yeah. Did that debate ever go here with the debate I gave? And it is debatable. Did they go in and target this person because he was white, or did they target him because he was just an easy target and they want something? Again, I'm not debating that. But did Fox News ever pull that up? Fuck no. You know, they just say, yeah, hate crime. If it was against white people, then so be it. Like, leave me the fuck alone whenever people commit crimes that are black. I don't speak for these people. You know?
Morex and black folks.
Yeah.
Why are you still talking to these people?
Because I get these emails every time, man. I want people to know, because if you don't, then they'll be like, see, they never brought that up. And it did happen this week, and I think it should be mentioned. But, you know, if you want to know about it, and you're not going to stop, so I don't even know what I'm asking. But if you really want to know about it, be like, hey, how do you feel about this? Don't be accusatory like, yo, people, see? You know? That's just, your cousin did it. You know, no, I don't even know this dude.
They're just throwing out bait, man. You're taking it.
Yeah. No, I don't think that because it's something that should be discussed, because there's always going to be one person behind that, and they do make a good point. And, hey, you know what? Because a lot of people, those are not the only two. There's people out there that feel like that. So if you want to know why, yeah, I don't think it's bait. Yeah, I think it should be discussed, and because for a while this is going to be these things will happen, and it's always going to be people jumping on this to come in and make very valid points about racism invalid. You know,
yeah. There's two sides of this coin, especially because the main reason why this crime came out was because they filmed it like fucking idiots. But I like that, first of all, the evidence is there, so it's going to be basically a quick trial.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
This is you uploading this to WorldStar, you idiot. Like, we got the crime. But people, stop filming everything. God dang it. Like, y'all need to stop.
Can I go one further and say stop kidnapping and torturing people?
Yeah, that's a good thing, too.
At least don't film it. I'm just kidding. Don't do any of this.
Can I go even one further and say stay the fuck off Facebook? You're going to learn.
You're going to live stream a crime.
Yeah.
I'm about to rob this bank. WorldStar.
What's wrong with you?
Wait, what are you arresting me for? Yeah. You don't know that I did that.
I guess I can't get that like, huh?
Yeah.
There was something in Chicago, and this came out like, I want to say like 36 hours ago. Well, Buddy had an AK and a rocket launcher in his laundry room and put it on YouTube. What are you doing? Like, the police are going to see this video and be like, yeah, that's... Oh, and he said his name, his full name. Not his street name, not just his first name, his first, middle, and last name. And it was like, yeah, I'm out here on Southside, what up, da-da-da-da. Like, all right, you're going to jail immediately.
So is all this done just to get likes?
Man, I don't know.
No, you know what it is?
The power of the thumb.
Yeah, you know what it is? It should be a reality show. Negroes with cameras. You know, I mean, it's like...
Or
you
dumbass.
Yeah, you get the dumb... People just... I mean, we've seen it so many times. You're right. I shouldn't even say Negroes. It's like people... You've seen people get fired.
Yeah.
For, like, putting dumb shit on the internet.
Right.
I remember a girl got fired for talking shit about her boss and went to work like he would never see this shit. Yeah.
She tweeted about it, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, went to work like, doo-doo-doo, nothing will happen, you know?
Can I speak to you for a second? I wonder why. Maybe I'm getting a raise today.
Excellent.
You know, we have this child mentality like, oh, my boss is like my parent. Oh, they're not hip enough to be on social media. Yeah, the fuck I'm not. I'm on social media just to see how you will fuck up.
Or just Google your name and it pops up.
Bosses, let me give y'all something. Bosses are on Facebook to watch you fuck up. Bosses want to see you put up some shit.
Yep.
Bosses on Facebook saying, I wish you would. Please. Please say some shit about me openly. Been waiting for this day. I can't fire you yet. But I got proof now. Oh, let's see here. Damn, they don't. What the fuck is this? Look like some shit out of Lord of the Rings or something, man. This is the weirdest looking shit I've ever seen. They look like they gonna commit crimes. Oh, let's see. We got. You know what? You gotta go, man.
Yeah, gotta get out of here.
All right,
evening, people.
Later, dude.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. See you on Tuesday.
Look for Corey on Facebook.
I would not be uploading stupid shit.
You still gonna stick around?
Sure.
All right. And you know what? Man, I got something here. And I want to now, before y'all say anything, this has to do with pornography. And we're not doing it just to be nasty.
Yes.
We're not doing, yeah, of course. Who doesn't like pornography? Don't even, let's, you know, come on. You're talking to us now. We're friends. You know, y'all, we know that we've all looked at pornography.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You know what? I will speak for myself, but so do you. Just then, looking guilty as fuck. You got a porn hat on right now. You know what I'm saying? And it looks good, too. I would watch that hat fuck somebody. But the reason why we're bringing up porn, besides the fact that, you know, occasionally we enjoy it, I mean, you know, this is 2017 now. Let's just admit it. Sammy, what kind of porn you like? Not Sam, but Sam. What kind of porn you like? Yeah. Now, see, notice she didn't say, I don't watch porn. She like, yeah. You know, I think I could probably take a guess as to what kind of porn you like. And I'm not, hey, look, it's not even a guess from me. We have the analytics. We have the numbers to prove it. I know what you're looking up. And to help us out with this, we have our porn expert, a man who went to school. He went to school for porn. Yeah. You had a porn class. Yeah. And he came up to me and he said, man, I found this story about porn. I'm like, I don't want to talk about that nasty shit. And I started looking at the numbers and I was like, this is revealing.
Oh, it's analytics, man. It's all numbers.
It's all numbers. Damn, well, you went low. Well, you should have use that power over him. You know, go back. You're not going to talk shit about you later. You and your racist talk, go ahead.
Hey, man, I'm talking about the truck and everything. I'm trying to get sponsorship in this bitch.
I can't, man. I'm not going to lie. I am hungry right now.
Every time he wears that hat, it makes me hungry.
It makes me. I just want to put sauce on that hat right now.
Well, you can.
I know, but I want to.
You stuck on a desert island? Yeah.
Shit, I'm going to eat him. That's some good eating right there.
I think about that after I eat the hat. Man. Oh, damn, I could eat
that. That hat's going to be for dessert.
Some Sam Cracklins for this man.
Oh, but people... Thanks to, and I want you to, and you've been there. This is not unfamiliar to anybody out there. Thanks to Pornhub, we have a lot more information, not only about the porn viewing habits of this country, but of the world, and also a lot of the hypocrisy that goes on behind the politics. Thanks to porn. And here's the thing. Let me go ahead and pull this over here. As Sammy said, we got the numbers to prove it. And see, here, this is what I love about, this is what I love about sex. You know, there's, y'all know I'm a self-professed sex addict. I got help for that. But you know, sometimes I had to say, sex is my best friend. You know, there was a reason why I was so into sex. Not just because it felt good, but it actually told me a lot about people.
Like a wino in a bottle.
Yeah.
You just curl up with your best friend sometimes.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know, I think I cut through the bullshit today just because porn at one time told me, you know what, the world is full of shit.
Yep.
And only you and I can see this.
Only, apparently.
And it's true, because all this shit, Sam, you were telling me today, you know, y'all talk about that wall, y'all talking about get these Mexicans out of here. And you know what? Even the ones out of here, don't like them. Maybe I could deal with them. Don't like them. And don't get me started about the blacks.
Oh, man. Yeah, no. So just to give you the background, I actually did take a pornography class in college. It's one of the only ones in the nation. And what it did teach you about is that porn is the most watched film genre in the world. Just generally.
Like, so when you jacked off at home, was that homework?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Right? No, seriously, the first homework assignment was watch Deep Throat. And just kind of like watch it and see it. And then we analyze like the historical context, mm-hmm. what it did to kind of open up the doors for porn, essentially.
Can I ask you a question?
You know this class didn't really exist.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Sam, I swear to God. Right hand to God. Philando. Cynthia Philando is teaching it. She's great. It's a great class, man.
So for this class, you'll need these books, some lube.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what it taught
me. I was a stripper teaching that class. And your classroom was a strip club.
Hey, Martin was there, too. Yeah, he was taking notes.
Went to an adult bookstore. That's what's Let me ask you something. Yeah. So when you watch these films for class, did you watch them unedited?
They were completely just as is, but a lot of it had to do with the politics behind it. A lot of it was from a feminist perspective about consent, mm-hmm. and kind of what gets people off and what they're into. And so when I look at these numbers, they've been doing these numbers for about 4 years now, I read, but I only saw them last year. And they give you this real in-depth analysis about what states like what countries like what. And a lot of it has to do with just people not being true to themselves when you think about the politics of that they're trying to preach as a nation and then what they watch in their private private time. So I don't know. I found it really interesting with that kind of that lesson of, you know, what people like and the hypocrisy, like you were saying,
yeah.
of the nation.
So. Come on. Let me tell y'all something real quick. That wall ain't going up. because don't nobody want to block that nice Latina ass right there. There's a lot of people out there who love Latin ass. Yeah, I know. I know.
That's for you, Martin.
And even if you did build that wall, that ass gonna knock it down. I mean, y'all don't want that. Too many people love Latin ass. Y'all talking about black people. You know, you got wasn't Richard Spencer and all these alt-right separatists talking about, you know, we should have ours and y'all should have, you know, and you should have yours, and there should be no mixing of the races until y'all start missing that black ass. There's a whole lot of people out there where one of the highest search things is ebony. It is black ass, you know. And the women out there talking about, you know something, Trump's going to protect us from all these minorities out there, especially scary black men, except when I go home and look up black dick. Mandingo.
Not the
movie, you know, not the term, but the man. Mandingo. That's one of the actors, main actors that's looked up out there, if I'm correct.
He's the highest male porn star on the search history.
Oh, so. No more Lexington Steele?
No, he's like, I don't know where he is.
No, Mandingo.
Porno Chris would know.
Yeah.
But Sam, he's
like,
the most.
Sam's paying attention now. She's like, hey. Somebody's a Mandingo? If you want to take a bathroom break, go ahead. You can.
She tried to go for real, and now she can't say that.
Now she can't for the rest of the show.
She
can't go for the rest of the show. It's over now.
It's all right. We'll wait. You want to take my camera in there with you? So, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, no. I'm joking. She's looking at Ian like, you going to let him say that to me? Ian, I think you just lost your friend, man.
I warned her before.
You warned her? Yeah. Okay. We know we're just kidding, right? You know. Yes, just shut the fuck up.
But grab that mop just in case. Yeah.
But what's up with these numbers, man?
So Pornhub does this like year in review type of thing where, okay, 2016, we're going to analyze everything. And so they make these really like organized charts as to what kind of output they did in terms of like gigabytes and stuff like that.
Sure.
Which ended up being 99 gigs a second last year. It's how much porn they were having to stream. And so they go by age, they go by gender, country, how long each country stays and like how long they last on Pornhub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just this whole big sheet of numbers that you can look up.
What am I looking at right here?
And so right now this is age specific what they like. So this is ages 35 to 44. That's what they search the most. And the top gaining searches of this age groups is 360 degree porn, robber porn, and family therapy porn.
Family therapy.
So, and I had to look it up.
I didn't know that was a thing.
So, yeah. So it's not like they go and they like go to counseling, whatever. Yeah. No, they fuck each other. That's like they're having issues and then they fuck each other. The whole family. Like,
that's a big thing.
Incestuous shit.
That's a big category. Not stepmom, but mom.
Yeah.
Or the other thing is stepmom, and then under that is the friend who goes over to see his friend, and then he's not there.
I know there's tons of that.
Yeah, and then there's mom not there. But I'm looking at this, and like 35 to 44, in order from bottom to top. At the bottom is cream pie, and then we go up to celebrity sex tape, black massage, stepmom and son, stepmom, then you have lesbian, and then you have Japanese.
Huh. And they're the only ones that lead in Japanese for some reason. Apparently 35 to 44, there must have been something on TV where there's Japanese girls. I don't
know. And I'm telling you.
You got to think about the histories of like what people grew up with, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I tell you, when I say like I make these these racial identities.
Yeah. It's those anime fans.
Yeah, because y'all ain't in it because of the art of animation. No, because you want to fuck an Asian chick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it is. And that's why I always say like when you look at television, it's shocking for when certain races get together, but that fetish of white males of having Asian chicks, you seeing it pour into mainstream now. You see it in so many commercials.
Right.
But 45 to 54.
Also just to note, so they have relative to the age group on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So 35 to 44s are more likely to look up anal, amateur, and BBW porn.
Big, beautiful woman.
Big, beautiful woman.
I like that, too.
Now, your category is what fucking goes off the rails, man.
Which 40, one?
45 and 55?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm right at the edge of that. So what do I like?
So the top gaining search for your age was virtual reality porn.
That's why you're so hung up on VR, man.
I am. I want that. Oh, yeah, I don't want to play games. I want it because I want to have sex. I want to fuck.
Hey, and that's okay. Whatever floats your boat, as long as there's consent, as long as you're not hurting nobody, that's fine.
I want to have sex with air while I'm looking at some, you know? Yeah. And you know what? For those people who say, well, if you're older, you're outdated, now you can disprove that. Yeah. My age group, we're on the cusp of technology.
They're going for it, you know?
Yeah, we're the ones that are pushing technology. You wouldn't have virtual reality games if 45 old motherfuckers like me didn't want to fuck.
Yeah. You know? Leading innovation with my dong.
And so, yeah, and then if you go back, it was like robber porn. That's why I had that robber. It wasn't just for the black girl, but it was for the guy wearing a mask, like breaking in and fucking people. And then for some reason, you're 243% more likely to look up 20-inch dick.
Well, that's not surprising.
Well, just very specific, but why that age group? Why is that in the top three of that age group?
Because you know why I think why? Because I think it's women who are looking at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this just males or?
It's both.
Okay. Yeah, I think women, now guys too are probably looking up, but I think a lot of women, when they get older, they know what they want, you know? And they realize, hey, after all these years, I'm not shy about it. I've made some room down here. I can handle that big penis now, you know?
Well, so, there's probably a lot of guys going like, what? That's not a real thing. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. And then some guys do research like me.
Just interested. Yeah. Who knows, right?
But it's size of a shin. Yeah.
So 45 to 54, starting from the bottom to the top, we have big black dick, anal, black, massage, lesbian, Japanese, stepmom is second, and then at the top is MILF. And
stepmom is kind of a subcategory of MILF.
It really is. It really is. And I can tell you why. I mean, even when I was younger, I love watching older women, man. It's just because it seemed like who didn't have that whole fantasy of going to your friend's house or your teacher?
Well, even like what they consider MILF is not even that old.
Yeah.
It's like
30. They're like, oh, you're a MILF. It's like
27.
Oh, okay.
Man, I hate that now that they are calling women who are 30 years old MILFs. I mean, because you're trying to say, and I don't even like to use the word old. I like to use experience because, look, I've seen some 50-plus categories where the women turn me on. Are they the best looking women? Well, if you go by the social standard, maybe not, but they just look like they want it. They look like they know what they're doing. Look at that right there, man. You know, that's not acting anymore. You know, that's real. You know, she's saying, you know what, I don't even want to get paid for this. I just want it. And you know what, I look at that and I'm like, that's because a lot of MILF porn, I think a lot of guys, they're called, oh, you like old people and shit. But as they get older, they like to say, you know what, I'm not ashamed of these fantasies anymore.
Yeah, it's who you are. That person is their age group, you know, MILF, their parents, their, you know, some of your grandparents. And that's what they're into. They're the same age as those performers.
Yeah.
But you should go younger. The younger people are the one. You want to talk about being at the forefront of porn? That shit is weird. And I'm talking about your people, Gertz. The gamers, man.
Oh, Overwatch.
We'll get to that. Overwatch. Yeah. Overwatch is a new porn category. It developed. When was the game released?
The game was released this year. It's been in beta for, I think, since 2015, but it became...
But it was released, you know what, month?
Oh, excuse me, 2016. I want to say it was released...
Ooh. Maybe May or June?
Yeah.
Like summertime?
Yeah, it was like right at the start of summer.
What the hell is going with Overwatch? Why are people latching on to this?
Gertz, you can take it.
I'm not entirely sure.
And if you don't know what Overwatch is...
I can kind of take a guess.
Well, yeah. Let me just say this so people will know. Overwatch is a multiplayer shooter where it's they got a lot of characters, but there's one female character that's just kind of just become the...
She's the breakout star.
It's just a breakout porn star in nerds' minds, man, and gamers' minds. Like, for some reason, they've latched on to this chick. What's her name again?
Tracer's the one in the yellow.
Tracer's in yellow, Diva's in purple, and they're probably the two that pop up the
Diva's
most.
Flexible as fuck. Right.
And they released a comic, an Overwatch comic. We talked about this on the show recently, where they confirmed that one of the characters is gay.
Mm.
And it was that character. It was Tracer, the one in the yellow back there. And there are a few nerds that were deeply upset by this.
Someone made a Snapchat image. Like, someone made that. That's not in the game. Someone computer generated that. And it was like 18 to 24. Are all about Overwatch porn and like cartoon and hentai, and another one is the DDMM or dance the one with the dance
revolution.
Turquoise hair girl that you win the game with.
Yeah, I remember the game.
It's like
I don't remember
the name. Dancers, Asian shit, right?
The game
I put
sucks.
An image
oh, that chick
that
right there.
That's her.
Yeah, I had to crop it a bit because it was a little saucy underneath that. I was like,
isn't she 11 years old?
Who knows?
I know she's not fully developed.
Yeah.
I thought that was a boy at first.
No, yeah, it's all fucked up.
She's got a Batman logo in her hair.
This is weird, man.
Copyrighted. Look at the image. Look at the not that one. There's a graph in there that shows you the 18 to 24.
Oh,
right
I got it, man. I got the 18 to 24 because, y'all are.
They're a bunch of fucking weirdos, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 26. I'm out of that group. We have our own subset, and the chart should be right after that.
Yeah, it should be. But, y'all into some real. You got some nerdy shit in there, man. It all depends on, like, Asian stuff. Like, for you, to 18 to 24, starting at the bottom, Japanese. Then you move up to not stepmom, but mom. So y'all still like you ain't weaned off the tit yet.
Hey, I'm 27.
Yeah, so we're out of there. We're in the second part.
Yeah.
For people watching out there, there's a lot of you that are about that age. I've seen the demographics. Y'all are fucking weird.
Yeah. You still
chill.
You still want to suck the tit and everything. And up from that is stepmom, then MILF. Mm-hmm. Then you got hentai going back into your Asian fetish. Then
I love the next one.
Teen, which I guess you're close enough.
The one after that.
Stepsister. You got a stepsister?
No.
Yeah, because I tell you, man, I understand how that goes. There's a lot of cousins I want to have sex with, and they were close cousins. I don't care.
All right.
I don't care. I'm telling you that right now. I don't care.
A fuck.
Don't give a fuck. I didn't do it, but I would. I'm telling you that right now. I would have got country on the asses real quick. In the top, 18 to 24, lesbian. Is that you?
No, I'm 27.
Oh, you're 27.
Yeah. This should be out there.
How old are you, Sam? 22. Oop. Do you like do you like lesbian porn? Or do you like looking at girls go at it with each other? That's a yes.
Statistically,
that's
yes.
A statistically, yes.
If you look at the other charts, yeah.
You. Wow, that's revealing.
And you.
And you. So you like kind of looking at hot girls go at it with each other, huh? She said,
mathematically,
she just looked at me. She's like, who doesn't? So
she raises a valid point.
You win this one.
Yeah. No, I'm glad she was truthful. So the numbers, they don't lie.
Yeah. You got Harley Quinn jumping up for 18 to 24, jumping up because of Suicide Squad.
What? Really?
Yeah. You didn't see in the top? Yeah. That was one of the H Pacific ones.
That Harley Quinn is a category?
Yeah. Like, you can search for Harley Quinn porn now. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Well, it's been a thing because the other Batman movie that came out previous, but I guess Harley Quinn is, now that she's in the movies, is like skyrocketed this year.
Okay.
Last year.
I can see that. Now, let's go to the group that you guys are in right here. It is the 25 to 30, 34 category. And from the bottom, going to the top, we have Black, Stepmom and Son. That sounds like a sequel to Sanford and Son.
I know. A Black, Stepmom and Son.
Brum, brum, you coming in with your dick? You big dummy, come over here and suck this dick. After stepmom and son, we got, mom. So you guys aren't out of it.
We're not in the clear.
That little Oedipus Rex thing that's just going on. Yeah.
Y'all are all about moms. Jesus.
Wow, man.
Fear of the 75 and older category.
No wonder millennials ain't leaving the house, man. That busy jacking off to mom all the time.
Y'all always take the path of least resistance. Looking at other women besides mom is too much work.
Yeah, love them moms, man. So we have stepsister, then we have MILF. Okay. Then we have stepmom. A lot of moms up in there.
So much mom.
Number two is lesbian at the top.
Lesbian mom.
Boy, you. Lesbian mom, Japanese.
Lesbian Japanese stepmom.
Lesbian Japanese vampire mom. Harley Quinn is my mom, and I want to fuck her. So, yeah, there you go.
Star Wars was our specific nerdy one, our age group. Star Wars was the big one.
There's enough Star Wars porn out there?
Dude, I Googled it for research purposes.
Okay.
Dude.
Chewbacca, tear that ass up.
Chewbacca fucking somebody. Who would want that?
That's like an old black man, Chewbacca.
You know,
Uncle Leroy.
Yeah. Come on now, Leah. Come on, get this Chewbacca dick.
Why is this tongue sticking out the
mask? Man, but that's what I love about porn, because the costumes are so cheap. Because if you look, you can see the person in the mask. That's what.
That Beetlejuice teeth.
Sam, would you have sex with Chewbacca? No,
she had to think about it for a second.
No, actually, that was the one she jumped on. She's like, no. Oh, hell, that's disgusting.
We know what you're searching for later, though.
Yeah, man.
But I fucked the shit out of that Overwatch chick. Oh, wow. Very revealing.
Yeah, man. And then, there's, the South looks up the most porn, or spends the most time on porn. Like, it was Alabama, Louisiana, something else, through the top three most, time spent.
And you know what? Speaking of.
The church won't let them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at this again, we're talking about race and all that kind of stuff, and people are talking about, look, we're the. we're divided as a country on the outside, but behind closed doors. Behind closed doors, we are you. We are. We are the horny.
We are the porno day.
What's the number one search out there for
male porn?
For
stars?
Male porn stars, Mandingo.
Mandingo. Black Lives Matter apparently only in porn.
Yeah,
apparently. Exactly.
I can tell you.
What explains it?
Every first lady that's white has looked up Mandingo. Ivanka Trump has looked up Mandingo.
Yeah, I mean he's 26 overall, man.
Yeah, he won by a sizable margin.
Yeah. Yeah, and after that, you have James Dean. People who know that, they know him. Rocco Stiffrey, that guy's freaky. Danny D, this is now, we're getting to places I don't
even
know
who these people are.
Yeah, but Danny D, I don't know. Shane Diesel, Johnny Sins, Bruce Venture, man. When they're not doing porn, they have a superhero squad.
Wait, Bolt Upright didn't make the list?
Rico Strong. Kid Bengala. I think he's a Street Fighter.
Dash Rip
Rock, Bruce Vander,
huge
Manuel Ferreira. So, yeah.
Ethnic names, though.
Yeah.
A lot of ethnic names.
Yeah. Again, we're a country that's divided on the outside in sexuality. We're all talking about how, you know, they can do what they want to, but in God's eyes, that's a sin. And I'm not going to say it out loud, but they should be punished. But a lot of people looking up lesbian porn. Mm. A lot of people looking up Ebony, and also these people are talking about being so protective of kids out there. Now, I know when they have teen, they usually mean that 18 and older. You know, you have barely legal and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people looking at teen because they want to be right on the cusp of that legality. Let's not, you know, come on, people. As a country, as a world, we're full of shit.
Wait, it said top three porn stars, Kim Kardashian. Didn't she only make one porn movie?
They look up her titties, man. They're trying to look up all the titty pictures that she puts out there, which she puts out a lot of them. And that's even another one. We hate Middle Easterners. We want to send them all back. Of the three, two of them are of Middle Eastern heritage, Armenian and Lebanese woman.
Yeah.
That's Mia Khalifa.
Yeah.
She's like the number two most searched porn star in the world.
Yep.
And we want to give shit to fucking Middle Eastern people in Muslim countries and stuff like that.
You know, a lot of people think she's Hispanic, so.
Who knows?
And speaking of which, top gaining searches, relative searches, big booty Latina.
For America. That means Mexico isn't even looking up big booty Latina. They're looking at porn, I guess, but
they see it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's special anymore.
But that's the thing. That's the number one search. It's like, yeah, we don't want those Mexicans on there, but they can't get enough of that shit.
Oh, Chewbacca.
All y'all get back over there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not you, sweetheart.
Wait, no. Exactly. You get out, but leave the ass.
Yeah, we're a bunch of thieves and criminals and all this bullshit. And now,
murderers and rapists.
Murderers and rapists. Pardon. There's even I found this in my own search. I'm gonna be honest, okay? But there's actually like deportation porn. No, so what do they do is they find a bunch of Mexicans and then they find the hot one and then they fuck her and then you're a citizen. It's fucking awful. Like, I was like, I don't get mad at porn. I'm just like, it's porn, whatever. Everyone has their own shit. But that shit pissed me the fuck off, man.
No,
wrong.
A lot of hypocrisy in there.
That's some slave, like finding some slave, runaway slave shit and then fucking them. And
that is
free.
Something, too. You should have. One of the most disrespectful things I've seen is Roots, the porn version.
Oh, no. You don't have to look it up.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, man, you don't believe me?
Wait, wasn't just Roots?
No, we believe you. We believe you.
Roots, it offended me when I saw this shit, which is why I watched it twice.
We're not. Like, me and you are not the type to get offended, but Jesus Christ, there has to be a line, man. At least somewhere, please.
Man. Yeah, you know.
That shit was easily accessible. I wasn't like the dark web or some shit. That shit was just right there on the front page. I'm like.
Yeah, they got some shit. They even got a behind the scenes of this. Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, this sounds awful.
Look at this. Roots, the triplex porn parody behind the scenes.
Hey, it's Mandingo.
A blooper reel.
That shit hurts.
That was it. Man, I'm behind this nailed country ass.
Seriously.
Is that Zeus turning listed in there?
Hey, we're here doing Roots, and we're in the country in Miami. Got a little lizard head.
This Negro is actually a centipede.
He
just said
seen a lizard
he didn't, not only that, but he had, like, when you, if we did that, when you like say to yourself, we're doing Roots, and then be like, damn, I'm doing the porn version of that.
You have the temerity to call this Roots.
Yeah, I just said this out loud. I like the way he's like, there's a lizard right here. I'm getting ready to fuck this lizard. But, you know, it's, there's a, hey, if you think it, it's out there.
Yeah,
so
man. No, stop right.
But, hey, you know something? That's the thing about it. I want to do this not because we want to sit up here and be dirty and nasty, but not only are we hypocrites just about sex itself, because I guarantee you 90% of the people out there who say they never looked at porn, they have.
They have. They everyone have. For the most part, everyone has. No. The only one that's really true to their word is Utah. Utah is on the, like, the bottom most searches of, like, in the country. The Mormons are the only one on top of their shit.
Oh, you know what? Say what you want about Mormons.
They don't watch that shit, apparently.
I heard that, and I'm not going to even say the name, because this is the artist that I like, and they say that this guy, that a lot of people think he's lost his mind just because he's a Mormon, and he will not touch his junk, man. And a lot of people are thinking, you know, like, hey, that shit will drive you insane. Yeah, here's an artist that's made some crazy shit, and I'm not going to even say the name, but I'll tell you once it's done, but...
Damn,
you know.
But you're seeing that not everyone has watched porn. Most everybody's watched porn. No, of course, he was defending. Like, nah.
You know, even if it's out of curiosity.
Exactly.
I mean, you
by
know,
accident, by shit. Accident.
Yeah. About yeah, come
click
on.
Click on a tab.
But let's
accident.
Cut the accident bullshit out. We've all intentionally went. Ain't nobody actually tripping fell and be like, oh shit, I'm looking at porn. You know, nobody's
well,
done
and
that.
You can't get on the internet and not see it.
Right.
Yeah. So you could see it by accident. But you probably stuck around.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking to people that actually walked into the room and stayed. You know, yeah. I'm not supposed to be here, but oh, shit. But I am a little tired. I think I'll take a load off a little while.
But lastly, I just wanted to bring up the people who spend the most time on porn are Filipinos. So, Felix.
Oh.
You chill the fuck out. They spend nearly 2 minutes before above the next country in line, which I think is South Africa. And
really?
Then it's us.
Okay.
And then Cubans, they get it off quick, man.
Okay.
Cubans are like 4 minutes or some shit like that.
Yeah, I'm on Cuban time, man. I don't need a whole lot
efficiency.
Of time. Efficiency. I just need. I know exactly what I want.
There's a porn embargo. I don't know.
Yeah,
I won.
Yeah. I go to the restaurant. I know what I want to order. I get it. I eat and I leave. Yeah. So, well, there you go, people.
Just some stats. You can look up all the stats on Pornhub. It's like Pornhub/Insight.
There you go. Yeah, you can go to Pornhub. You already. There anyway, you know,
just do some research.
Yeah, go ahead and educate yourself.
You might find something you like.
And erase your search history.
Incognito mode is your friend.
All right. While we're doing this real quick, we're just gonna give you some other numbers. And oh, let me go here. I forgot to bring something up. We're about to get out of here, people. Let me see what the chat is saying. Somebody, yo, lying motherfucker. They're talking about I accidentally got porn on my jailbroken Fire Stick ops. No, I don't even know what the hell that is, but it sounds like a lie.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all putting some let's see here. All right, then.
The people versus OJ was great. They weren't even paying attention. They're like, Roots, oh, black people, OJ's great. That show's awesome.
Or they thought that was a porn flick. When is OJ going to have sex with somebody?
$5 is an OJ Simpson porn, man.
Oh, of course. I mean, of course. Even bet you on that. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me go ahead and pick out.
Kurt's like, yep, I've seen it. It's great.
It does fit.
Nice.
You earn every cent I give you.
I'm going to punch you in the dick for that one, Patrick. Good.
Patrick Gertz. All right, everybody.
Waka, waka, waka. He'll be here all day.
It is time. Booty talkies, my friend. 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 The Hot Action Pack Weekend Box Office. All right, let's go ahead and do this very quick. And let me go over to the weekend box office. Not very eventful, but some things did happen that might have been unexpected. And where did Sammy leave me that list? Sammy, where is it? Good study. I think we made some a change today, man. We made a difference.
Yeah. I mean, people want to be all taboo about it, but really, everyone looks at porn. It's healthy. You got to know your body. You got to know what you're into. So that way, you have a good time, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, you got to be mature about it. Sure. Can we live?
Exactly. Can we live, sir? All right.
And use protection, guys.
As Daniel Ding! A condom just comes over her head. The more you know. A penis erects. let's see here. All right, you've seen the you're looking at my notes here, so I'm not going to actually.
Yeah,
I'm not. But you know what? Let's see. I'm not going to mess with anybody. I need to get through this real quick. So I'm just going to ask Martin after I pull up my Muzak over here, and let's see what we got. Bring up the wind music, people. Again, going to be in Dallas, February 18th. So come by and see us. But where's it going to be? Well, I'll let you know. I'll let you know as soon as we find the venue. And we will, probably within the next 2 weeks. Well, not probably, we will. So just wanted you to put that on your calendar. And also the tequila party happening at my spot. possibly, in a couple of weeks. Got to get rid of my tequila. Come help me drink it. Give you more details later. I just figured this out yesterday. So let's go ahead and get to the top five box office. And Martin, did you do your research this week?
I took a glance.
Okay, what is number five, sir?
I think it's Learned.
No, Martin, it is not. And it is La La Land. La. Yeah, don't be putting them the Madea R's on that.
Learned Land. I can't wait for that one.
Yes. Oh,
oh, you just wished that it's a fruition.
Oh, damn right I did.
Boo, Madea musicals. let's see here. La La Land opened in 765 more theaters, and that really helped out. A lot of people also saying, with everything that's been stressing folks out, this feel-good movie, and it is a feel-good movie despite some harsh things that go on there, but it is a feel-good movie. They'd say that this would be one that would come in and catch a lot of people. And it did. It did. It, I mean, the fact that it doesn't have the promotion that a lot of other films have, and it's still considered to be somewhat of a smaller film, too. A lot of people didn't think that it would actually get to the top five this soon, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. It's been floating around. A lot of movies that float around for a long time don't get that luxury of moving up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like my man Sammy told me over here, what was it that helped boost this?
It was the Golden Globes that's happening right now. There's a lot of buzz behind it. And so with the added things, the word of mouth, people are really looking for this to win Best Musical / Comedy in that award. So if it does that, it's probably going to jump up even more if they add more. They're actually going to do some IMAX screenings as well.
Really?
In next week. So
Okay. I mean, not that it doesn't deserve it.
No, I would go see it. I love this movie.
Yeah, so. I'm dying to see this movie again, too, and especially put it on IMAX because it's one of the best-looking films out there, one of the most colorful films out there. And it grossed – should have given the numbers at first. It grossed $10 million this weekend for a total gross of $51.6 million. One more time, a movie that was made for a low budget, $30 million, that looks like more than its budget. So let's go ahead and move on to our number four movie.
I think it's Underworld, colon, blah, 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 blah.
Martin. Blah, 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 wars. Yes, Martin. But it's not winning the war at the box office. Right now, this movie brought in $13.1 million and on a budget of $35 million. And this is supposed to have done better because a lot of people thought this series carried a little more weight. But out of all the five movies that are out there for this series, I think this is the lowest. That's including my favorite one in the series,
Rise of the Lycans.
That's number three. And this is... They say that this might have had something to do with the weekend. So there was bad weather this weekend in a lot of places. They're saying a lot of movies might have been affected by that. And one of the things that's going to push this movie out, because a lot of people say, well, let it stick around. It's a slow time right now. But as we said, man, people watch these movies to see a hot-ass chick blow up CG shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot some CG monsters and creatures.
And we got another one of those coming.
And Resident Evil about to kick the shit out of Underworld.
Same movie, pretty much.
It's the same movie, but like I said, with less pretentiousness to it.
Yeah.
The war between the vampires. And shut the fuck up. Blow something up.
I'm pretty sure I've seen like three Underworld movies. I just don't know which ones. They're all the same.
They're the same.
Yeah. They're all the same, man.
They're the same. You know, and this one, while I didn't give some bullshit, I gave it a really low rental because they are starting to blend together. Stop trying to tell this story. In fact, if you can't do something new,
it's through.
Bump it up a little bit. Cut back on trying to be the Shakespeare vampire werewolf movies and be more action oriented. The action in this is cool, but we need more of it.
It's just so black and blue. Like, I've never seen such a desaturated and boring looking movie.
I will give it. You know what? I actually like the look of the movie. I think it fits.
That's its style.
Yeah, I think it actually fits the material.
I guess.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it. I guess.
I have watched it. Sammy has seen this shit and. It's all the same.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. A lot of people, it's blurring. I thought it was just me, but fans even saying, yeah, man, it's bullshit now. You know, they're all the same. I've been trying to defend this for the longest time.
All nine fans are like, eh.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people thought if I just watch all of these movies, I will be a vampire right now. And they're like, nope, ain't happened yet. So fuck this series. So let's go ahead and get to the number three movie out there. Martin.
Sang.
No, Martin, again, no, it's sing. You put that A in there. Not sang, Martin. It is sing.
Show on Sunday.
And it's been there.
Yeah. Like you said, it might do. And just racking in money.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it has been. And it's a movie that I liked. I actually enjoyed this very much.
Did you?
I really did.
I had to go see it this weekend with the nieces and nephews and stuff.
Yeah, weren't you so like,
It was just like, why am I watching this?
I, you know what?
This is boring.
I laughed so much in this movie.
Did you?
I did.
I was suffering, man. I love my niece and nephew. I'll take them. They're having a good time. It's great for them. I was like, this is some dumb shit, man.
Okay.
I don't care about this German pig and this Mexican pig and this other.
Oh, well, fuck. Let me change my mind then. No, you know.
Honestly, no, you have a right to an opinion, but you're also wrong.
Okay.
So,
well, you wouldn't know. You're used to doing that. So I would say that I really like this movie, man. I don't care what anybody says. And, apparently a lot of people like this film. I think it's a perfect movie for kids. And it brought in $19.5 million this weekend for a total of $213 million after 3 weeks. This, I think it probably moved up from where it was. Like I said, we haven't been here. Martin said that. We haven't been here for a long time. And it's still there. And that's on a budget of $75 million. Not a great film compared to what
everything
Disney might put out or what Pixar came out with. But as far as just an entertaining film, it's proven that kids like it. It's a fun film. And I tell you what, a lot of families are enjoying this. So whether you disagree with it or not, you know, families, it's serving the purpose of what it wanted to do for family audiences out there.
My folks loved it, so.
Yeah, did you look at them the same way? Really?
Yeah, I know. I kept my mouth shut because I respect them. But I wanted to.
Yeah, you want to get kicked out that fucking house?
Right? I don't want to get kicked out of that fucking house now.
You fucking kidding me, Mom? Dad? Come on.
Fuck you, you don't know shit.
This isn't cinema.
Put him back in the doghouse. All right, what do we got for number two, Martin?
Hidden Figures.
Martin, yes it is. And then how from the figures for the box office this weekend brought in $21.8 million. And yet, keep in mind, it was opened, I think, a couple of weeks earlier. I think it opened up December 25th.
Small release.
Yeah.
And this is the first one that had over 2,000, like more than 2,000 theaters added to it. So this is a real wide release.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's kicked ass, man.
It's already... And before it's done, it's going to go past its budget. A lot of people saying it's going to be a hit. $25 million is what its budget is. Again, another movie that I enjoyed. And the movie's been getting great word of mouth, also backed by great reviews for it. And all of that has been feeding it to the success. And plus, it's a mainstream movie that's getting some good marketing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The marketing as a feel-good movie and audiences, definitely during the holidays, are going to fall for that. So there you go. That's the movie, of course, with the three black women that came in and pretty much helped put a white man in space. He wouldn't have been there without them.
Isn't that history? Black people just lifting up white people to
Thanks,
places
guys.
They can't go.
I'm not saying.
This is literally curses.
We finally got our thank you.
I know. I'm not saying anything, but boy, my arm's getting tired, man.
just stay right there for a little bit longer.
I'm kidding. No,
for a second, I thought you weren't.
No. And some big star power now. Octavia Spencer's probably been the highest. Well, Taraji P. Henson probably been the highest. Followed by Octavia Spencer and Janelle Monáe making a name for herself, you know, in movies, not just music anymore. All right, let's get into the number one movie.
Barely number one.
One of the worst movies of the year.
Yep.
Oh, of course, man.
This piece of shit.
Star Wars, Trash. Colon Rogue One.
Oh.
Shit.
Right there with the Great Wheel Valley. What a piece of shit this movie is. Bullshit. Everyone hated it so much that they gave it another $21.9 million this weekend for a gross of, I didn't even know this, damn, $477.
While we were out.
While we were gone. $477 million after 4 weeks. That's almost $115 million a week that this movie was making, and that's on a budget of $200 million. Now, it's no surprise that this movie would do well, but the test was.
Damn.
But God damn, I know. Martin's got like steam coming up top of his head. You know, but the test was, will a movie that's outside of the main Star Wars story do well? And a lot of people gave it a resounding yes. This movie, a lot of people say that this was great, and I'm one of them. Some people. Oh, from there, was that from the show? Murder! Bullshit! Some old bullshit! Yeah, man, this is a good sign. Now, I genuinely thought that this was a good movie. I'm not on any kind of Star Wars bandwagon or anything. I really thought it was a good space war drama.
I don't think of myself as one of the Star Wars fans. I just like this movie a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did a great job with this without having to rely on what they consider to be the canon, the imagery, all the trademarks that they've been shoving down our throats for years.
I disagree with that to some extent, but at the same time, it was a good movie. So I wasn't as hot on it as a lot of people were, but... You know, maybe I need to watch it again or something.
Surprise, surprise.
No, it's still good, but no. I'm not like Will Valiant this shit. I'm just saying, man.
What is it that... Okay, you know what? You didn't give a review. What is it that you didn't like about it?
I don't care for anybody. I really don't care for anybody. And if you guys watch Plinky Reviews, I do. He kind of did analysis where if you don't have A New Hope, a lot of this shit doesn't make sense, and the ending really isn't that... There's not much of a payoff when you really don't know what's going on in an isolated movie alone, itself.
I would say that, okay, while that's a valid statement,
right,
that's still kind of bullshit because this is Star Wars. It's made for fans. You know, if there's an ultimate fan film out there... It's Star Wars, man.
No, I know. I love Star Wars. I'm one of those people that like Star Wars. But at the same time, if you want to take it as a film by itself, you kind of have to keep that into account. You have to keep it into
account. Even as a film by itself, this was a competently made movie.
No, it's a competently made movie. That's what I'm saying. It's like a low full price for me. We're mincing small things, okay. But right, I'm just saying, man.
Why are we doing this shit?
He's over here. Well, you think it's the best shit ever, so. it's all right, man. It's all right. You can have the Asian monk saying, "The Force is with me, okay, I'm one with the Force," right. And you'll be happy. Bring it!
I want to see this.
Funny thing where somebody's like, "Well, if you didn't watch the first movie, then this second one just makes no sense." Well, then why would you watch the second one without watching the first
one?
Because I ain't seen shit. You know, yeah. I know.
I'm
talking about whoever this wicked jackass is.
Well, you know what that guy has made? I don't want to even talk about our
competition.
I won't even say competition. I won't even say competition. I don't want to talk about people out there on the internet who are actually doing things because, you know, they're actually great people, man. And they made one of the best analyses of Star Wars out there.
A film.
Yeah,
Plinky Reviews prequels.
Yeah, they actually really.
It's done in a weird character who's like a basement dweller shut in who's like a serial killer, but he's actually teaching you a lot about how film is organized. It teaches you a lot about how film works and why the prequels don't work as films and then as a whole.
That's how they became famous, because they gave great commentary.
It's an hour for each movie.
On the prequels, yeah. They give great commentary. So, you know why. With this right here, it's whether you like it or not, whether you have your reasons for why it doesn't work or it does, this was an important film because we're going to get more standalone films outside of it, because maybe we can stop. We're getting a Han Solo film, but maybe we can start concentrating on things that take place outside of the characters that we see all the time.
Right.
I'm very skeptical of that Han Solo movie. It just does not
seem. I'm not because
it's written by the dude.
Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Yes. Oh, seriously?
Only reason why I'm giving it a shot, Gertz. That's the only reason. The Lego Movie 21 and 22 Jump Street are some of my favorite movies.
They're good movies. Yeah, but just that.
With a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one.
So anyway, that is the...
Okay.
That's why I walked away, because, you know, he's the one that sat up there and fought about Fight Club and didn't understand a fucking thing about it. You know, this movie's about daddy issues. It's like,
it's up to interpretation, but all right.
Fuck you.
Oh, Will Valley, how you doing? Speaking of Rogue One, our old Rogue One himself.
The old Rogue.
All right, people. I'm going to answer one email, and then we're going to get out of here. And let me see where that email is. Thank you, Sammy, for putting that together. Appreciate it, sir. And let's see. We got some email from people. We're going to get out of here. Sunday service. Let's see here. Darkula.
Not quite black.
Yeah, Darkula says, "Happy New Year, crew. I recently saw a video of a woman feminist being catcalled while walking for 10 hours in New York City."
Out that bold video.
This is old, man.
Yeah, that's old. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Dude, that's. Oh, okay.
Dude, you're a shithead if you catcall. End of story. Yeah. Don't do it.
Hey, man, come here real quick. Redbone from. what's his name? Red
bonus.
His name is Ben.
How you doing, sir?
Sinbad.
Hey, thanks for being a good sport about this, man.
I've
been getting this ever since I dyed it this color. So,
you did it on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was real. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I like the way you committed. You went with the beard and everything.
I was like, okay, it's one of these brothers whose hair grows out red, like Malcolm X. But
look at that.
You ain't down with the struggle.
I love the chat. The chat is talking about they have. I don't know who this is. They said Will is back.
That's the dude from Civil War, I think.
Oh yeah. Daniel Brühl.
Yeah, that looks just like him. Cause I didn't have to. I said that's Will. They fucking with Will.
That's true. Civil War is all about Zemo just trolling the Avengers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, let's see here. This is, let's see, can you tell a good drunk story that involves Martin? Oh, it says, I thought it would be interesting to see the story from both your perspectives. Oh, yeah, I got a few of them. Some I can't tell you on there. But,
Yeah, watch it.
He's so nervous. Like, I told this story before where Martin was drunk and was speaking of catcalling. It was one time I had to tell Martin, cool out, man. It was some girl who was walking, and Martin was by, like, hey, gal. She just kept trying to walk, and he just like, hey, do fries go with them shakes? And the girl, and she's like, stop it. It's not nice. And I was telling him, I was like, man, back the fuck off. And she walked away like, yeah, girl. And I was like, Martin, leave this girl alone. She going to get a shot and thrown in jail out here in that order. So
yeah. I was randomly being a jackass.
Yeah. Randomly. Yeah.
It was in my head. It was going to be a joke that we were going to both laugh at. And it just didn't play out that way. So most of the time I get in trouble, it's because I've been drinking and I had this great joke. And I just fumble it.
Yeah. You know, it happens. Believe me. I just admit mine. Now here, let me see here. Oh, we'll watch this later. Of course, Lomax sent us the porn version of Power Rangers. We'll watch that in the privacy of our own home. It's, you know, in the name of research. Eric Kirby has a request. Mr. Coleman, I know you and Martin aren't big sports fans, but I was wondering if you guys are going to do a special Super Bowl show on February 5th. Maybe. Well, you know, why not? Maybe you guys can do a poll and see if people want a regular Sunday show or a special Super Bowl Sunday show. You guys can talk about your favorite and not so favorite moments in sports. I hope you guys do it. That is it. Thank you. That is something that can definitely be discussed. We don't know yet. You into sports, my man?
Yes. Yes.
So,
pretty much.
You're in the sports of dyeing your hair. I was thinking, what? Now, why did you? Oh, did she bring the puppy?
Okay, I guess the temperature drops.
Yeah, babe, how you doing? What'd you bring? Did you bring a plate of food? Pizza for yourself. Yes, all right. No.
Okay, good.
So, my man, how are you? What are you? I think his friend was sitting there. She's. It's fine. Okay. So, where you from?
D.C.
D.C.?
Yeah, pretty
cool. And what brings you to Austin?
I'm moving here now, so.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I've been trying to find a place for, like, the past 4 weeks now and still hasn't come through.
You coming in here for a job?
coming in here?
No,
I already got a gig that I'm supposed to start working tomorrow, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Can you say what it is
here for school?
Oh, you're here for school, too?
Yeah, school.
How old are you, man?
25.
25, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, what are you going to school for?
Cinematography, hopefully.
Cinematography, okay.
Well, at least that's what I want to do.
All right, then. So you're a film guy.
Yeah.
Very nice, man. Yeah, you know, by the time you graduate, we might build a full-fledged movie studio. I might hire you, man. Give me your resume right now. We'll give it about 2 years. Now, see, if that shit happens, you're going to feel like shit. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
When Coleman Productions comes up.
The star of Jingle All the Way. Yeah. And Space Jam. It'd be great.
Yeah. When I hired the real Sinbad over you, who was cheaper, by the way. No, I'm kidding. No, Sinbad's actually doing great. So I know he's not.
The IRS came down on him hard.
Yeah, oh, I hate to hear that, man.
He did a DVD a couple years ago. This shit was awful. I love Sinbad specials in the 90s. I used to watch them all the time. That shit was awful, man.
He does a lot of cruises now.
He does. Ooh, yeah. That's what
he had a cameo in American Dad for like a few episodes.
That was really him?
Yeah, that was really
him. I thought they had a fake Sinbad doing it. All right.
Well, yeah, you guys can make Jingle All the Rest of the Way.
Yeah. Oh, God. Another sequel is 50 years too late, right? Yeah.
We can get
Jake Lloyd from prison.
We can get that swole motherfucker. Who you talking? Who is that dude that's your friend, Gertz?
Deuce.
DJ. We can get DJ and be the fake Schwarzenegger, and we can get you to be the fake Sinbad. Have you guys do a knockoff Jingle All the Way? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jake Lloyd. Jake Lloyd.
I don't want toys anymore. It's not pod racing.
Oh, all right, people. We are out of here. I want to thank you, man, for coming through, sir.
Yes.
And thank you for having a good sense of humor about things. You knew we were going to mess with you.
Sure, I get made fun of a lot. I get that.
Do you really? But the thing is, man, you're a
When you dress like this, like, yeah, you're going to either catch glances or get made fun of.
So you're a black punk.
Yes.
Yeah, you like the rock music and the punk music.
Yes, as the kids would call it.
As the kids would call it. Yeah. So you playing a band?
No, never played a band.
Now, which parent is the white one?
God damn.
but
my mom, yeah. Had to get out in a minute.
I like how you just like made the assumption.
Yeah, well, why is that a bad question, man? They are your parents.
Oh, yeah. Well, your mom was. Yeah. Come on, man.
So which one's the white one? Yeah. Where is she coming from?
Yeah, yeah. Dad was all about that white woman, huh? No, I'm messing around. I'm messing around. Now you know.
It's cool. Nice.
You know. He's like, yeah, I'm murder your ass. Me walking. Want to see how punk
Where'd
I really
you
am?
No.
You said you didn't. You play in a band? Did you say
no?
That?
No,
you
no,
don't.
No, no, no.
But you know what? As a person who loves all kind of music, including punk music, come on. You know, I've talked about some of my favorite bands being rock bands. My favorite music being rock music. So you know, I can't say anything.
I used to work in a music venue, so I have like a wide array of like music. Like in my lexicon now.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people want to know. I didn't directly answer the question, but a lot of people said, "What is the first soundtrack that you wanted to buy from a movie?" Mine was heavy metal from the movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah, heavy metal. I remember
it's a great soundtrack.
It is a great soundtrack. I was listening to it the other day, and I wanted to get that on vinyl at the time. And
listen to you.
I know, man. I was the real hipster, man. I discovered before we go. I have to say, Miss Mia bought me an excellent Christmas gift. She got me a pair of jeans, and I just had to break down and tell you. What's up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
No.
We're just jarred that a pair of jeans is a great Christmas.
Well, he said it's a great Christmas, but go ahead.
No, because I finally discovered that as much as I talk about hipsters, I'm a hipster, man.
Stop the presses. Did anyone else know this?
Yeah, man.
The internet is going to explode, man.
What a twist.
Yeah, everybody knew but me. Go figure. Nah, man, she bought me a pair of skinny jeans, and I love them, man. Because the reason why I didn't like skinny jeans before, because I always like them fucking hipsters wear it. No, I like them. I didn't like them because they were always hurting when you would wear them. Hurt your balls, hurt your knees. But she found a pair for me that fit. Like, I'm wearing them right now. That fit so well. And, I realize now that my style is hipster, metrosexual douchebag, you know? And a double feature with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But, because I got called a... Kim called me a douchebag. You know, Kim in here, she was drunk one night. She said, yeah, you have a very douchey shirt on right now, talking about my button down. And then Oz makes fun of my skinny jeans. And then, of course, you know, there's the gay thing all the time. So I just accepted it now. And I really love these jeans I got on. So, with that said, people, thank you for watching the show. We are done now.
I'm sorry, it's funny, man. Yeah. Between you guys and your clothes, Mark got his gators and other shit for Christmas and stuff, man. I got all these taco shits on.
Oh, yeah.
Our clothing shit is just off.
You were going to be a taco truck one day.
Oh, like a Transformer?
Yeah.
You want all my life.
Be like nine lives when he gets turned into a taco truck.
Yeah. Thank you again, sir, for coming in. And thank all of you out there. And I want to, again, since we went long today, I'm not going to bombard you with the sponsorships. But what I will do is invite you to please go to doubletoasted.com and watch some of our live streams. A lot of you listen to it and you don't realize that we have a live stream out there. And when you do this, when you watch a live stream, you participate in the show in a way that you can't do just sitting back and watching it in post or listening to it. I mean, you can have your email read. You can actually be on the show, maybe through Skype or getting made fun of. You know how it is. You're hanging with the guys. And if you do miss a show, go to the Double Toasted Archive. listen to or watch some of the old shows that you didn't catch. And you can try that service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. Go listen to us for free on SoundCloud, though. All of the archived audio is there, all for you, no strings attached, to listen to. And actually help us get paid when you listen to it. So go try it out for yourself. Put your stuff up there somewhere, if only on SoundCloud, if not somewhere. And I'm sure somebody will give them those
big, fat taco checks.
Taco checks. Think about how many
those
tacos.
Are the best ones.
Those are the best ones. Yeah. Taco bucks. So,
you got Ray bucks. You got taco
I was about
bucks.
To say.
More valuable than money.
Let's see here. What else we got here for you? Go listen to and watch now the Midnight Chat Attack every Saturday, 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. Chat to them the traditional way, but they got their streaming video on YouTube now. So you can go over there and watch them and see all of those beautiful faces behind all those ugly insults. And that is it. Thank you, my man, for coming in. Yeah, of great time. I know I've said that five times, but that's how.
Say,
that's
how thankful are you?
Yeah, man, I'm very thankful, man, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming in for the first and last time. He ain't coming back.
He lives here now. He'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. They always come back. And Sammy Gonzalez, thank you for your research today.
Good job, Sam.
Yeah, very good job. Martin Thomas. Mm-hmm. Well, and no, thank you, Ian. Thank you. Did we scare your friend off?
She's in the bathroom.
Mandingo searches now.
Mandingo.
Mandingo. Are we singing it? I felt right.
Mia, thank you. And there we go with Will Valley. These shows couldn't be done. Aye, you chowder heads. Will Valley, who makes these shows posting possible, and Felix. The MVP of the week. Thank you, sir. I wouldn't be in the studio today if it weren't for you, because I'd still be at home because I didn't have no battery in my car. But that is it.
And the dirty one, man.
Dirty Gertie, the newest edition. I know, on his day off, the newest addition to the crew. Love Gertz being here. I know I give him a lot of shit, but love Gertz being here. Gertz, thank you so much, man. And that is it, people. You think we'd be done, but... You think we'll be finished, but I just want to thank my man again. Thank you so much. No, everybody, thank you. And if you ever want to come down and watch a show, well, I'll tell you about that later. But if you can't, you can always email us on the internet at kcoolman@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. You email us with any questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. It's a little late right now to be on the show, but if you'd like to later, just send me an email to that kcoolmans@gmail.com address, and we'll figure out a way to accommodate you. I'm on Twitter at kcoolman. You can catch me there occasionally. We're on Facebook. Type in Double Dose, you find all of us. If you type in Corey Coleman, I will give you some personal prayer time. If I'm busy, Mr. Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And if you're already on Facebook, you can join our group, The Children of the Toast, moderated by myself and Mr.
Sammy Gonzalez DT on Facebook, MXLNT Sam on Instagram, The Mexican on Snapchat. And be sure to check out Sammy Ain't Seen Shit. I will buy you last week's movie, which is Children of Men. Go watch it for terms and conditions. Corey.
Duh. Look at you. Such a generous person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And.
Oh, yeah.
And here's how generous we are. We keep our doors open for you in the Church of Double Toasted, world famous. Come on down and watch your show. Give me an email. I'll give you an email. We'll accommodate you. Until then, good night, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to or watching this, goodbye.
And stay toasty,
you masturbators.